Good morning. It is 9:07. I'd like to call to order the Dallas City Council meeting for September 19th. We will be doing some briefing items, but we'll also be having some votes. We'll be voting on the budget. To start off this morning, I wanted to remind us that today is the last day of Rosh Hashanah. And because of that, I think it's appropriate for us to take a moment to recognize our friends, our neighbors, our associates in the Jewish community and wish them a Happy New Year. Rosh Hashanah kicks off High Holy Days in the Jewish faith, a 10-day period of reflection and repentance, something we all probably need before Yom Kippur, which begins Tuesday on the 25th at sundown. I believe that our Jewish community is one of the strongest in the country and an important part of our city. We're honored to have Ms. Margolin here representing that as a great leader. I'd like her to give us the invocation in a scripture, and then Ms. Hasso will lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance. Thank you, Ms. Margolin, for being here.
Thank you. Let's bow our heads. It was actually about 15 minutes ago that I was asked to do this, and so I have pulled together some thoughts. As the mayor said, in the Jewish tradition, this is the time of year known as the High Holy Days. It's the holiest time of the year. It's a 10-day period beginning with Rosh Hashanah, the start of the new year, and ending with Yom Kippur, which is a week from today, the Day of Atonement. It is a time of what is called in Hebrew teshuvah, which is turning back to the best people that we know we can be, repenting, returning to God. These are the days of awe. It's a time for new beginnings, a time to take stock of ourselves, a time to evaluate the year that has passed, our actions, our thoughts, our attitudes, our behaviors. It's a time to mend relationships with our family, our fellows, and our God. May the lessons and urgings of this season influence us all as we all, with God's grace, strive to be the people that we know we can be, that God wants us to be. May we all be blessed with the gift of seeing ourselves honestly and resolving to repair our weaknesses so that we can each contribute in greater and greater ways to the lives of our families, our communities, and our world. Amen.
Amen. Professor?
Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Please. Thank you, Ms. Margolin. That was beautiful. Judge Hill?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I want to echo your commendation, Ms. Margolin. That was an excellent rendition of this particular High Holy Time. I certainly have not lived the Jewish faith, but as you know, I am a seminary graduate from SMU. Those are the things we had to learn in order to understand how those of us in the Christian faith grew out of that faith. The one we call Savior came from the Jewish community, and we had to learn that. And I, again, commend you on your excellent rendition that you just gave. Thank you so much. And, Mr. Mayor, thank you for allowing her to do it.
Thank you. I think it was beautiful. Ms. Medrano?
Thank you, Mayor, and I just want to thank all the council members that attended last week when we attempted to paint the City Hall Plaza orange. We've got a big thank you note to you. With everybody's help, we're able to collect thousands of pounds of peanut butter, and still counting, you can still donate peanut butter until the 30th of September. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Mayor Pro Tem. And it is my honor to have a special presentation this morning. It is election time, as we all know it. There's voting coming up. We have a important elections, not the least being our bond election that will happen on election day this November. It is imperative that our citizens, if they are not registered to vote, I believe it's a terrible injustice for somebody to live in this country, be a citizen of this country, and not register and participate in our election process. We are a better country when we do it. So I call on us all to make sure that we get out and vote. It happens to coincide with September, which is National Latino Voter Registration Month, and I think it's an appropriate time to have this proclamation. Mayor Pro Tem Medrano and Council Members Hasso and Alonzo have asked to do this, and I think it's dead on. As citizens of this country, we want to make sure that we all vote, and there have been many, many elections when there have been too few that have participated. Change starts at the grassroots level, at the neighborhood level, so it's imperative that we all get out there. But we not only need to register, we need to vote. But I think it's imperative that we do. So leading the effort in the Latino community is Carlos Mariquin and Roberto Alonso. Would you come up here? And I would like to present a proclamation to you that I believe the whole city council endorses. And we want to tell you that this is important and you're doing good work. And so I will, and this is so important, I will read the whole proclamation to you. Whereas the continuity, vitality, strength of any democratic society are dependent on the education, enlightenment, and participation of its citizens, and whereas the right to vote is the seminal right of any citizen of any democratic society, and whereas it is the goal of the City of Dallas to encourage and increase the number of its residents who actively and regularly participate in the electoral process and who accept with eagerness and enthusiasm the responsibilities of citizenship in a democratic society. And whereas a significant portion of the electorate concentrated in low-income and minority communities is still alienated from the electoral process, and whereas voter representation of people of color, working people, young people, and other underrepresented voters is fundamental to the exercise of democratic elections, and whereas only enfranchisement of all qualified voters, including those least powerful and most vulnerable, can result in the election of leaders truly representative of their constituents, and whereas the City of Dallas believes an intensive voter registration effort could substantially decrease the number of qualified residents who will be denied access to the ballot in the forthcoming election. Now, therefore, I, Mike Rawlings, Mayor of the City of Dallas, and on behalf of the Dallas City Council, do hereby proclaim the month of September 2012 as National Latino Voter Registration Month in Dallas, Texas. Thank you very much for the work that you're doing. Thank you.
Mayor, thank you very much. Mr. Malachin, thank you, and State Representative Roberto Alonso, I haven't seen you in, 24 hours? Just saw him last night. Ms. Hassel.
Yes, thank you, Madam Mayor. And if you guys will stay up there, I do want to go up and make sure we get a picture of this wonderful event along with myself. I just wanted to thank the mayor for making sure that that we talk about Hispanic Heritage Month. Hispanic Heritage Month begins September 15th, and it goes all the way through October 15th. And it does celebrate the independence of several Latin countries. to focus on voter registration is key and very important. So I thank you for letting us or giving us the opportunity to do this. And thank you, SEIU. My hat always goes off to you guys. You do a great job all the time in getting people involved. And thank you, Representative Alonso.
Thank you, Ms. Ahaso. Mr. Caraway.
Yes, I just want to ditto the comments of Ms. Ahaso. Thank you, guys. Mayor, thank you for allowing this presentation. And Roberto and SEIU, I want you all to know our continued support is there. Your focus is on point, as always. And that's why I stand so supportive of you, because of these types of issues that affect our community. So thank all of you for that. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Ms. Alonso, I think you know one of our guests.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Mayor, for allowing this opportunity more than anything. It's important for us to address this very important cause, this very important issue, because it is for our communities. One thing that we talk about is to register as soon as they're 18, but believe it or not, there is a new law that states, or that has been there, that you can be 17 years and 10 months before election day that you can register already. So if you're 17 years and 10 months and eligible to register to vote, we strongly encourage you to do it now. For parents that have children and are citizens as well, they can register them too, so I strongly encourage that as well. And of course, SEIU and Roberto and I have been working very close and very hard to make sure that not only we register them, we get them to the polls, but more importantly, that we communicate and inform them of how important it is. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Alonso. You know, registration to vote has never been easier. I do recall that my late father, Pancho Medrano, used to sell poll tax, and folks would come and knock on the door to pay their $1.75 to have the right to vote. So I am a member of NALEO, which is the National Association of Latino Elected Officials, and in cooperation and collaboration with other national groups and with the Spanish-speaking media, we are coordinating a nonpartisan Latino Ya Es Hora, which means it's time, for civic participation, a campaign that will help Latinos navigate the process of registering to vote. So thank you again for your leadership on this. And I'll go back, Mr. Atkins.
Carolyn Davis.
First of all, I want to thank our mayor for working with the Latino community and making sure that they are registered to vote. I want to thank SEIU for all that they do, and it's a wonderful picture.
Wonderful picture. That's good.
All right. Thank you so much, Roberto and Carlos, again. Thank you, Ms. Pedrano.
You're welcome.
Let me talk about procedures and timing for today. We will take our open microphone speakers. Then we've got some budget items that need to be approved that we will go through. We will hold item 7 till the end, because I think the rest of the stuff is pretty perfunctory. We can get through it real quick. If I'm wrong about that, I apologize, but I think we can. Then we will go into executive session, and we will read that. It is legal issues regarding federal health care, and then regarding gas drilling. On that, and then we will come back at 1 o'clock and do a City Hall security tabletop exercises that we spoke about last time, and that will be I think that's about an hour and a half, so We should be done by 2:30 this afternoon if all goes correctly. With that, we'll listen to the morning speakers.
Good morning, Mr. Mayor. There are no morning speakers.
All right. Then we will not listen to morning speakers.
So we'll move to the voting agenda.
Okay. So we'll read the first item into the agenda.
Item 1, approval of minutes of the August 27, 2012 budget workshop and the September 5th, 2012 city council meeting.
Motions, do we have a second?
Second.
Second, any edits, amendments? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Item 2, consideration of appointments to boards and commissions. This morning we have one individual appointment and three full council appointments. For individual appointment, Christine Schwoop, nominated to the Community Development Commission by Councilmember Grayson. Full council appointment, Brett Johansson, nominated to the Cypress Waters Municipal Management District by Councilmember Alonzo. Mr. Johansson is an employee of a person who owns property in the Municipal Management District. Jill Lewis, nominated to the Reinvestment Zone 4 Board, Cedar Gardens, by Councilmember Coop. Ms. Lewis is a Dallas County resident. And Kyle Ward, nominated to the Reinvestment Zone 16 Board, Davis Garden, by Councilmember Griggs. And Mr. Ward is also a Dallas County resident.
Move to approve.
And a motion is second. Discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
We'll now move to the items for individual consideration. All items being considered are fiscal year 2012-13 budget items. Item 3, under Office of Financial Services, final reading and adoption of appropriation ordinances for the proposed FY 2012-13 City of Dallas operating grants and trusts and capital budgets.
Please.
On the budget, does that take into consideration the items in agenda item number 6 that talk about the metered parking?
What city manager?
Yes. You have to change number 6 to have the revenues and the money balance in number 3.
Because it just seems like we would do that in reverse, kind of the order, because I wanted to say a little something about the metering fees around Clyde Warren Park. It seems like we discussed that before we approved the budget.
So what you're saying is if we approve, Ms. Soom, if we approve item number 3 and theoretically didn't approve item number 6, would we have to go back and approve item number 3 again?
No, we would have to figure out a way to make up that money if you reduce that. I don't think it would be substantial. So, I mean, we can do it in any order you like.
Okay. Anybody concerned about taking up item? Ms. Grayson, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I just want to say I agree. I think we ought to do the other ones first. I think we've got this backwards. I think we ought to do all the others and then vote on the final budget.
Anybody opposed to that procedure? Okay, item number 4.
Item 4, an ordinance setting the tax rate at 79.70 cents per $100 valuation and levying ad valorem taxes for the City of Dallas, Texas for fiscal year 2012-13. Mr. Mayor, this item requires a special motion.
I'm sorry. I'm getting legal
The state law gives us the order we do things in?
State law also gives you how you move motions on this job.
Okay.
I'll read item 3.
Okay.
Item 3, final reading and adoption of appropriation ordinances for the proposed FY 2012-13 City of Dallas operating grants and trusts and capital budgets.
All right. Come back to item 3. Did we have a motion?
Second.
We have a motion and second. Now any discussion? Mr. Hunt.
Mr. Mayor, in approving this budget, are we or are we not approving the change where we're putting in two full-time judges?
No.
And
well, hold on. It may be.
It
may be
that we are.
Ms. Sim?
I'm sorry.
The question was asked, in approving this budget, does it approve the hiring of two additional judges?
You haven't gotten to that item yet. That item is...
I don't believe that's correct.
It's not the individual, it's the position.
No, it is not in the
budget. Mary, if it's not in the budget, why did we discuss it at our budget?
Okay. The new positions are in number 9. There is no money associated with those new positions, so...
And yet, I asked the question last time, why is it in a budget briefing when it's said because we have to change the positions?
Because all agenda are necessary for the budget. They're structured in the way that they have to be structured legally in the way of ordinances and stuff. The new positions are that you validate for the budget are in number 9.
I think I still have the floor.
You can amend number 9 at any point in time if you want to.
So, for instance, on number 6, where some of us are concerned about the parking fees at the new deck park being $2.50 an hour. So if we approve, we're going to have to go back. Say we don't think that's the appropriate amount to park at the new park. Then what do we do if we don't like that and we want to change that? We've already approved the budget that includes that.
But that is such a small amount, we will make it up somewhere else in the budget. I'm not down to being accurate to that amount of money. So you want to change that, we'll arrange it so that it doesn't have an impact. It's a very small amount of money, Ms. Grayson, so...
Okay. Fair enough. But you say state law or something mandates that we do the budget in this
order? First three. No, I'm sorry. I'm getting. If you want to do this, be done together.
3 through 5
in that
order.
6 you can do whenever you want to. I'm sorry. I gave you conflicting advice a minute ago. I got corrected. And then the rest of them go with the budget because they're the health benefits. They're the position on.
Let's say we vote yes on 3, 4, and 5. That doesn't voting. Differently on the other items.
You're changing on number 9? No. Number 9 or number 6?
Or number 7?
Well, number 7's not a budget.
It's not a budget item. Okay, thank you.
Okay, you have a turn.
Thank you, Ms. Mayor. So, Mary, we can go forward on number 6 if we... choose to first. It's just that we have to do 3, 4, and 5 together. Is
yes.
What you're saying?
Yes.
Okay. And
yes. Hold on. Excuse me. Go ahead.
And okay. If we do 3, 4, and 5, in number 3, what exactly does the budget say with regards to our judiciary? Does it just have a line item, just an amount?
An amount that's not an increase from adding those positions. That amount wouldn't change whether you had those positions in it or not.
That has been stated. If that amount does have to change, would that come back to the council?
Yes.
What would the variance have to be before it came back to the council?
Well, you approve every variance in the budget.
So even a dollar, if it changes by a dollar.
Well, you do remember last... I think it was two voting sessions ago, we trued up all the appropriations.
Retroactively, yeah.
And that's what would happen in the middle of next year.
So it would be retroactive rather than forward-looking?
Well, it just aligns everything. It aligns the ups and downs.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions, Ms. Hunt? Do you want to go ahead and do 6 first then? Okay, I think that was that. Everybody said that was okay. So I'm sorry, Ms. Garaway, did you want to speak right now? Okay, I know we're trying to figure out which question. I think it's on 6. Let's read 6.
Item 6, an ordinance amending chapters 24 and 28 of the Dallas City Code to 1, establish an interlibrary loan fee. 2, provide for the payment of metered parking by use of a telephone or the internet and establish a convenience fee for such payment. 3, establish a metered parking area and an hourly parking rate for Clyde Warren Park. 4, establish an hourly parking rate for certain portions of the Woodrow Rogers Freeway Service Roads. And 5, revise the hourly rate for parking on certain portions of Lamar Street.
Do we have a motion to approve?
No.
Okay. Okay, motion, and we have a motion and second discussion. Ms. Hunt.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. My understanding that on the Clyde Warren Park, you know, colleagues, we're opening Clyde Warren Park just in a few weeks. My understanding is that the meter rate will be $2.50. Is that per hour? That is remarkably expensive.
Well, when we looked at other fees that are being charged for parking in the area, it was in certainly within the ballpark.
Other fees on public property?
Not on public property, on private property.
Now, for sure.
Yes. Now, here's the thing. We want to make sure that we're talking about the right parking. The parking that we're talking about is the insert parking that's immediately, that prime property is one that we felt would be able to garner this $2.50 an hour. Also, encourage in times when you're not having events of one kind or the other, that you would be having a turnover, more people to be able to use the park. We're already seeing some activities where people that are working in the area using those parking areas, even with all the construction, to park and then walk over to their job. Now, the other thing is that we're trying to create some parking on the frontage road that would be at $2 an hour.
I don't know, AC. This thing's remarkably expensive for a public park. I'm really concerned that this is going to mean that the public can't enjoy this park in the middle of downtown that they helped pay for because of these extraordinary fees. I think any family should be able to go there and not worry about feeding the meter. 1 hour, $2.50, 2 hours, $5. I mean, it becomes very expensive. It's essentially a fee for going to a public park. Why is it that we can't simply do what businesses do and say this parking space is for the public park only, not for, you know, workspaces across the street?
Well, it gets very difficult to actually control that. I mean, to actually police it and enforce it. Now, when we talk about feeding the meter, one of the reasons why we have this fee is also we're paying for multi-space parking meters, so it's not going to be individually metered. Aesthetic reasons and also providing greater flexibility in the way that people can pay. They can pay a number of different ways. Cash would be used, but also credit card or telephone would also be available at that site.
Are you saying we're having to pay more because we're doing this singular meter, or no?
No.
Okay.
The reason
because it
really
pays for itself, doesn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, over some time, we're going to be using this income that we're talking about here in this first year to help purchase that equipment, but I wouldn't say that's the reason for that fee. There's premium fees that are parking fees that are charged in that area of downtown, and we felt it was in keeping with that overall
Have we engaged with either the Parks Department or with the Clyde Warren Park Foundation to discuss this thing?
We have been in conversations with both Parks and Foundation. Now it was our recommendation with regards to the particular fees that we're talking about. And that being the police department and parking regulation.
And what was the response from the foundation or from the parks department?
Well, there was different parts of the conversation with regards to, in the case of the foundation, they had concerns about or desires to be sharing the revenue. And so we had to work through that part of it. In terms of overall reaction to the amounts, they kind of thought, basically, the way that we were seated in terms of a fee to be charged and to have it something on the order of magnitude that we're talking about. Now, I don't want to speak for them as far as the $250 fee itself. I'm not sure I don't recall exactly what they said about that.
Because I would really like to have a conversation with them about that cost. That just seemed incredibly high for an hour, $250 an hour. I'd really like to have a conversation with them, sit down with them and the Parks Department before we go forward on just this piece of agenda item number 6. It's concerning to me. We're going to open the park. I want to make sure we're sending the right message to the public that we want everyone to have the opportunity to come to this park, not just folks with a whole lot of change in their pocket. So, Mr. Mayor, I'd like to make a substitute motion to withdraw subpart number 3 out of item number 6 at this time and delay it for a couple of weeks.
Is that a friendly amendment?
Yes.
A substitute?
Yeah.
You have to withdraw? What? I'll let Ms. Coop, since she made the motion. Ms. Coop?
Yeah, and is it my turn to be
made? Yes.
Okay. It would be. It would be. I'm sorry, 3 and 4, Linda. My apologies.
Oh, yeah, take it out, both of them. Okay. Yeah, I don't have a problem with that, but I think that actually AC is correct on this because when you go to other cities and they have like an area that is, you know, say something like the plaza in Santa Fe or area that's really popular, people will, employees of, you know, in people that live in the buildings and so on and so forth, will park in those spaces. So it's, you know, what you're trying to do is protect the spaces for the public, and that ends up not being the case because they know the tricks. They come down there all the time, okay? The folks that work there are working there and only need an hour or two parking and that kind of thing. So it might have an inverse effect, and I think that's what you were getting to. But I don't mind, you know, bringing it back, you know, just to see if that's going to be the case or not. But it's going to be interesting to see if that really is the case that you're protecting. There's so few spaces. How many spaces are there?
23.
23 spaces, and how, you know, really, it's so few spaces that we're talking about. I could see where easily another item, there were some parking spaces on the street just over here, just a block from us, that people are using and just feeding the meters and taking up those parking spaces for people who would just prefer just to run into a building for an hour or so, and I've gotten complaints about that too. So really and truly, I think there is going to be, and I totally agree with trying to protect it for folks that are coming down. I totally agree with that. I think you're going to have an issue. I think the better part of valor in this discussion is the parking underneath the deck, or on the edges of the deck park, where we do have public parking, where they could park for a nominal fee, and then just if we had pedestrian ways, and I hope that we're going to be able to do that, and maybe I've been kind of thinking through my mind how we would have that access, especially from the Perot Museum, through that parking lot area and then up onto the park, because I think that is where people will be able to park for a lesser amount. And I think that probably is a solution that's going to be better for us. That is a public parking, isn't it? Underneath the deck park, kind of at the end on the west end.
Yes.
But let's bring it back and take a look at it, because I think there's several issues that probably need to be discussed in that one discussion of just a small amount of parking spaces.
All right. So just as a procedural matter, then we'll have discussion. You have a motion to please make your motion again, Ms. Hunt, because she's accepted it. I want to make
it was just to take out subparts 3 and 4 of agenda item number 6.
Okay. And do you second that, Ms. Coop?
I accept it.
Okay. Good, done. Mr. Atkins.
I think, Linda, you asked my question. You said it was 23 parking spaces that we were referring to?
Yes, sir. That are inside the park area.
Inside the park area. When we say inside the park area, exactly where inside the park area. We don't have a map, so I'm trying to visualize.
Well, it's on the obviously it's on the perimeter. There is no parking that is inside, but along the curb there's cutouts, if you will, that are that run longitudinal with the frontage road.
Right. And I guess my question is number one. It's, to me, it's kind of like valet parking. You know, even though it might be $2 something per hour, I'm trying to find out how will you police if it's free it would not be free for the citizen of Dallas because you had a whole lot of visitors coming there, because you cannot determine who is who without a detail. Is that a frustration?
Yes. If you have it free, I think what Ms. Cook was saying earlier and what our concern was, then you're not going to really have it for the people that are going to the park. If you have it something, you know, if you had it $10 an hour, then, you know, there's some obvious issues with that. So it's this balance about having it where, with the convenience of paying something, you can enjoy the park, not have to worry about it. And we think with the multi-space meter machines itself, it would give some additional flexibility. So finding that balance is something that is as much art as science, and we understand that there are sensitivities, but we think that having it free is not the option.
Okay, and when you did your valuation on this, you know, $2 and some cents per hour, how did you come up with the figure? I mean, how do you say it should be $2 versus $10 should be free? I mean, how do you do?
What we did was we took a look at the adjacent public and private parking in the area, and when you look at some of those rates and how they charge them, there's all sorts of variations on the theme as to, you know, what they really do to have a pricing structure that ends up you paying the $5 to $10 for a stay that you're going to be in that immediate area. So we took a look at those particular rates in that area and felt that for the kind of use that we would be going to encourage as far as people coming in, spending an hour or two, that was going to be a reasonable amount versus the other private and public spaces that are around. And I have to say more of the private spaces that are around because it is less expensive on the street.
But so what you're saying is that when you did your evaluation, you kind of look at should it be free for the public or should it be just people from visiting there, how much you should charge. But I'm trying to find out if you go back, what would be different how you do your evaluation if you go back and look at the 23 spaces?
I'm not sure. We would just offer up the information of what we were looking at. And
I mean, you already, I'm just saying, did you do that before you
yes, sir.
Come to the conclusion that $2 and some cents an hour?
Yes, sir.
I mean, you didn't put it out there.
No. We looked at it very carefully in terms of that comparison, and we struggled with some of the things that you're talking about here as well in terms of how it's going to be perceived and how it would work. But we were using some of the data of, again, the area of parking that was being priced by the private sector.
Thank you. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Carraway.
Thank you, Mayor. Mr. A.C., where was this discussed? Did you say you visited with, you had discussions with who?
We have been talking with the foundation, with...
You have talked to the foundation?
Yes, we talked...
And when you talked to the foundation, they their concern was they wanted a part of it. Is that correct?
Most of it was involved in that issue.
Okay, that was that discussion with the foundation. And you had discussions with whom else?
Mostly it was focused with the foundation.
Okay, the park department?
Park department, really not as much.
Not as much, but you did have discussion with
the
park department.
Well, yes, we were coordinating with them. We were really trying to understand what their understanding was of how parking would be handled and what their role might be. And quite frankly, it wasn't as focused on parking with them at all.
But at the end of the day, everyone you spoke with and through your research, you came with this $2.50, and you feel that is comfortable for the reasons as what Ms. Coop even mentioned, that if it is free, then folks will take advantage of it, and the 23 parking places that we're talking about currently are up for grabs for anybody.
Yes.
And not necessarily that the people in the park. So it could be that the people that are coming to the park, there may be, unless it is a special event at that park, there could only be two or three places available to the park users. Is that fair?
Sure, yes.
Possibility?
It's possible.
And then I find it a little strange, and I'll say this to Ms. Hunt, that I understand the concerns of $2.50, but I find it a little uncomfortable that we're concerned about this $2.50, but we say nothing. You said nothing about the $10 that they charge at Fair Park. The $10 that they charge to the events that are taking place at Fair Park, if we're going to talk about it, then I think that the $2.50 or something, but those little families that are going for the Latino Day, you know, think of the Maya and the back to school and other events, then the people in South Dallas that go to the Fair Park, they're charged $10. And then we're raising this with $2.50 because it's downtown. I'm not comfortable with the fact that we have that much of a concern over the $2.50 and absolutely no concern expressed about the $10 at Fair Park. So that's just my first round with that.
Can I respond, Mr. Mayor?
Thank you, Mr. Griggs.
Mr. Mayor, can I respond just right quick? Scott, do you mind if I just respond to Dwayne? Dwayne, that's a very good point about Fair Park, and I think you mentioned that before, and I think if you'll recall in Quality of Life, I've agreed with you on that point. I would suggest that we bring that issue back to the Quality of Life Committee, number one, because I do think that we're pushing people out of Fair Park on that, but we may want to bring this issue as well to the committee to discuss alternatives to ways that we can ensure that office workers aren't using the park parking.
Okay. Mr. Griggs.
Thank you. Now, I think this new park is going to be a 21st century park. It's going to be beautiful. It's going to be great. And with the 21st century park, we probably need a 21st century pricing model. And what a lot of the cities look at is dynamic pricing. When the spots are likely to be used by businesses in the area, there's a premium set on the parking. But in the evenings, when the people have gone home, or on the weekends, or in the midday, when it's less likely someone will park there who's working there all day, you lower the rate because then people are coming to the area to use it as a park. So I support your motion. I think when this goes back to Quality of Life or wherever it goes back, we look at some dynamic pricing models that other cities are using where we'll put a premium on it when it's used or likely to be used by people who are going to park there and go to a business. But then when people arrive that we think are likely to use as a park, families, we want to lower that rate. So we want to put the burden on the people using these spots for business, but make it very accessible. I think we could work out a dynamic pricing model that could make that happen. So that would be my suggestion for a 21st century park, a 21st century pricing model. Thank you.
Listen to that. Mr. Davis?
Thank you, Mary. Mary, what do you want us to do? Because let me say this. I don't think Ms. Sewell would have put this on the agenda, or AC, if they did not think that we didn't need to do this. Normally when she puts things on the agenda, we move forward with it. So what do you want us to do as council members?
Well, we made the recommendation that we, in our professional opinion, thinks best, but the council always has the right to
understand.
Reassess our recommendations.
Okay. Now, AC, based on this, do you think this is a fair deal? We're only talking 23 parking spaces. Now, when you go to Walt Disney, I wish I could pay $2.50 at Walt Disney. You pay almost $25 to park. So we're only talking about $2.50 on 23 parking spaces. So do you think this is a fair deal?
We think this is a fair arrangement. We also understand that there's some other options that are out there that also could be looked at, but we offered it up as a way to get this program underway.
Okay, and I think so too. I will be supporting this motion. I think it's fair. I think it's talking about $2.50. I don't think we're talking a whole lot of money off of we're 23 parking spaces. I mean, and the city is not going to make that much money off of it anyway. Anyway, we could take it back. It's going to come back If we lower it to 50 cents, the city's not going to make that much money. If we lower it to 75 cents, it's not going to be that much money. We're only talking about $2.50 and 23 parking spaces. Thank you so much. I will be supporting this motion.
Thank you, Ms. Davis. Mr. Grayson.
Thank you. I agree that the amount of money is probably not enormous here, but I think it's the message it sends to the public. And I was going to suggest, or I was going to ask if there was a possibility of putting up signage that says, for park use only, parking for park users only. But I like Mr. Griggs' idea, and I think we ought to take some time and explore that. So I also will be supporting this motion because the motion calls for deferring these items and having more discussion on it. Thank you.
Okay. Any other further discussion? We've got a motion that was accepted. Mr. Allen, sorry, you weren't on this.
You know, I too will support this friendly amendment here. You're exactly right. We hear about the $2.50 and how small it is until sometimes it's placed on somebody's water bill or it's placed on their garbage bill, and then we hear that it's a big deal. Our city manager tells us that the $233,000 is not much money, so it's not a revenue issue that's to us. It's a, I guess, more of a behavioral control type issue that we've got. But I agree with Councilwoman Hunt and Councilwoman Grayson that it gets back to the fact that our citizens, we've been raising various rates and fees on our citizens, and so I think we need to be mindful of the fact of that we just don't overdo it too much. So I'll look forward to a more in-depth discussion.
Okay. Mr. Carroway.
I'd like to make a friendly amendment, I believe, and before I do it, let me make a statement. If we go back and revisit this, Angela, and to the council, and we're not comfortable with the $2.50, that means that it's going to be reduced because we're not comfortable with $2.50. And if it's going to be reduced, then it will be reduced to what? So, I mean, would it be proper to say that would folks be comfortable if we said that we just make it today? Because we need to move this budget, and we don't need to stall anything. So would it be comfortable to say that it would be $2? Would it? If we're not comfortable now sitting at this horseshoe to say that, well, $2 is better than $2.50, and then if that is the case, then we can move this forward and off the table. Now, should it be $2? City manager has instructed me that we would be $25,000 shorter of their projection. However, if we're going to do something, we have the ability to do it now. And if we are still uncomfortable with $2, then since we're uncomfortable with $2.50, that's been explained, we can still move this off the table if indeed we want to suggest that it's $2. I'd like to get some feedback before I make it an official amendment.
I have.
Or should it be $1.50? Whatever it is, I think the dollar amount should hit the table that you all are comfortable with, because I'm comfortable with $2.50. But now, if we're not comfortable with $2.50, what about $2?
Ma'am,
I have a question. Question.
Well, I think Ms. Hunt needs to respond to Mr. Carraway's friendly amendment.
Well, I'd really love to have the opportunity to explore Scott's proposal to do dynamic pricing, because it sounds to me like, AC, that we may have the technology to address that issue. So I don't know if it'd be $2 at some times. It could be $4, $5 at some times. It could be 50 cents.
Those options are available, but they're available through multi-space technology, which is a more expensive route, which then gets us back to finding ways of still creating income to pay for that. So we could explore those others. We just want to make sure that we get on with the program to understand that the revenue would be paying for that.
I guess I was just hopeful that rather than try to figure this all out this morning when we don't have all the facts, we could take just a very short period of time, a week or two, just to explore this, if the mayor's okay with taking it back to quality of life, fine. If not, if we just want to have an offline meeting with whichever council members want to participate, we can do that as well. I just want to get a little bit more information. Thank you.
Okay, just real quick, guys. Second round, this is Mr. Atkins. I'm putting everybody in the shot clock, by the way. I've got my little thing here, so just know that I'm...
Okay. Is that $2.06 an hour or
something? I'm going to start charging it. $2.50 a minute.
Mary, if we come back in 2 weeks, pertain to the budget, since this is a budget item, is that correct? And is it $25,000 short? Where would the $25,000 come from if you lower the price, since we're going to pass the budget today? So it would affect how we balance the budget. Is that a true statement?
It will affect how you balance the budget.
So could we balance the budget today?
Yes, you can. I mean, sales tax projections are pretty volatile, so... You know, there'll be some change in the budget. I'm comfortable with y'all. Wait 2 weeks. I would like for you to do it now. But
My question is number one. Suppose we come back and say it should be free for that $200,000 that we could have used to do something else. Like we could fund jury earning income tax credit for $200,000. So 135. So that's what I'm getting at. I mean, we're playing around with budget right now. And my question there to you is that we should go ahead and pass this and come back. You want to readjust it, come back to it. Because it's a budget item.
That's another approach you can take.
Yeah, is to come back to it. Why just pass it and come back and revisit it?
Come back to the committee.
And come back and revisit it.
And change it later if you want to. You can do it either way you want to.
I hate that if $200,000 would be free, number one, then we could have $200,000 to do something else in my district. If it comes up to that conclusion. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Davis.
Mary, I agree with Tanel. I think we need to move forward on passing this budget now, passing 3 and 4 now, and then we can always come back for discussion on this item. So I will be supporting the city manager's recommendation on moving forward with passing 3 and 4 of the agenda item today. 3 and 4. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Okay, thank you. We've got a motion and a second to...
Point. I just wanted to point out to Tanel's point, everybody knows that this park doesn't open until late October. So there are going to be no meters running until October 27th, 28th anyway. So we have plenty of time just to discuss this and come back. It's not going to, I promise to know, it's certainly not going to affect the budget by $200,000 between now and October 27th because we don't have any meters out there. Thank you.
All right, we have a motion and
Mr.
a second
Mayor.
To pass item number. Excuse me, someone say something?
Just
Mr.
Quick,
Allen.
Just a quick deal on this, too, and as Councilman Griggs, as always, is very innovative. But, again, LBJ Express, that's exactly what we do when we talk about pricing and stuff and using LBJ Express, and it's this new thought process that we go through, which goes back to let's think this through. It's there's no rush to judgment at all on this, so that's my 2 cents.
Okay. Thank you. The only thing I want to say on this is, guys, we've got to make sure there are parking spots for our citizens. Okay, that's primary one, and if pricing is one of those things, because the pricing gets it. Even as dynamic as it can be, if it's too low, there's not going to be parking spots for citizens. It just is. That's just the way it is. So, but anyway, we've got a motion and a second to approve item number 6 without subsets 3 and 4. All in favor, raise your hand.
1 second.
Okay, what?
Remove 3 and 4.
Without.
A later date.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't go away.
We'll talk about how it's going to come back. Okay. All in favor, raise your hand. Okay. four. That's seven.
Eight.
Is it, you, Ms. Coop, you raise your hand? Okay, eight. So we'll do that. We will bring this back. I'd like this brought back to the city in 2 weeks, and we'll vote on this. Okay? We can the city council in 2 weeks. Okay? Let us, please, anybody that has any questions, talk to the city manager about it. An AC, all right? All right? And bring this item back the way the city manager wants it recommended. This is a small budget item. We need to opine on it, but we need to, you know, do that. So, okay? In 2 weeks. Let's get this going. This doesn't take forever. Item number, let's go back to item number three.
Okay.
Do that.
Item three, final reading and adoption of appropriation ordinances for the proposed FY 2012-13 City of Dallas Operating Grants and Trusts and Capital Budget.
We have a motion, Mr. Medrano.
Thank you very much. State law specifies particular language for the motion to adopt the 2013 tax rate. The tax rate for each $100 of taxable property.
Excuse me. That's not the item.
No?
No.
Oh, that's three.
Yeah. Sorry, I'm sorry.
Okay. Do we have a motion? We're doing item three, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so moved. Second.
Second. Any discussion on the $2.7 billion? Okay. All right. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any opposed? Motion is carried. Okay. Goodness gracious. It is. It's amazing.
Item
number four.
Item four, an ordinance setting the tax rate at 79.70 cents per $100 valuation and levying ad valorem taxes for the City of Dallas, Texas for fiscal year 2012-13. Mr. Mayor, this item requires a special motion.
So moved.
Ms. Medrano.
Thank you very much. As I mentioned, the state law specifies particular language for the motion to adopt the 2013 tax rate. The tax rate for each dollar of taxable property value remains unchanged for the fiscal year 2012-2013. But the city will receive increased property tax revenues due to the growth in the overall tax base. Therefore, I move the property tax rate be increased by the adoption of a tax rate of 79.70 cents, which is effectively a 0.75 cent increase in the tax rate.
Do we have a second? Do we have a motion and a second? Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Item 5. Ratify the increase in property tax revenues resulting from increased property valuations with the same property tax rate as in the prior fiscal year, reflected in the FY 2012-13 budget.
We have a motion. We have a second. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried. Do item number 8.
Item 8. Under Human Resources, authorize 1. Approval of the proposed plan design changes effective January 1, 2013, and 2. Approval of the proposed health coverage contribution and premium rates.
So moved. Second.
Do we have any discussion on that? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Item 9. Authorize 1. Position changes. 2. Approval of revised salary schedules for fiscal year 2012-13. 3. Elimination of the remaining 4 mandatory city leave days for civilian employees. 4. Elimination of the 3 mandatory city leave days for police and fire uniform executive staff. 5. A 3% increase for police and fire uniform executives. And 6, elimination of the mandatory city leave days and authorize a 3% increase for police and fire uniform staff according to the meet and confer agreement.
So moved.
So moved.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion?
No.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Item 10, an ordinance amending Chapter 34 of the Dallas City Code to 1, include the city auditor's office and the city secretary's office in the definition of non-civil service employee in conformance with the city charter. 2, grant police and fire chiefs any additional holidays granted to other police and fire personnel under a meet and confer or collective bargaining agreement. And 3, clarify that workplace violence is a type of disturbance constituting unacceptable conduct.
So moved.
Motion and Ms. Hussle second. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Under water utilities, item 11, an ordinance amending Chapter 49 of the Dallas City Code to establish and adjust certain rates, charges, and fees relating to water and wastewater services for Dallas and customer cities effective October 1st, 2012.
Motion and second. Ms. Grayson.
Thank you, Mayor. I have a question. And someone from water, please. Hi, Terry. Hi, Terry. Hi. I have a question about these fee changes that are effective October 1st. I was looking at the residential raw water permit fee, which went from 63, or is going to go from 63 to 95, and the deduct meter customer charge, which is going from $10 to $40, and the portable meter deposit from $1,000 to $1,500. And then I noticed that the next section, which is development fees, all of them are being reduced, or almost all of them, substantially. I guess my question is that I want to ask is, I know that development fees, you know, are for new development. I just want to make sure that we're not putting a larger burden on the residential customer versus a different class of customers. So can you explain that to me a little bit?
Yes, I can. The small services contract fees are based on the contract that the city takes out. So those fees are based related to the cost of that contract. The other fees that you mentioned, we do an evaluation of all the miscellaneous fees every 5 years, within every 5 years, and each of those fees were reevaluated, and the cost, the time that it takes to drive to and perform the services are evaluated, and then the fees are adjusted accordingly.
So those development fees are adjusted because we can only recover the cost. We're not going to charge additional.
Yes.
But tell me again about the first three that we're increasing significantly. Do those apply only to residential customers?
No. They don't. Anybody who uses the service that they're associated with. And it's strictly the cost of performing that function and the equipment that goes with it.
So we've increased those because we found over the last year we have significantly increased?
It may be more than a year. There's probably 20 or 25 of those fees, and they're each reviewed within a five-year period, so it may have been 3 or 4 years in the time that those have been reviewed, but there is a worksheet that evaluates each of the costs associated with those.
And so on those three, we found that we need that big a jump.
Yes.
Because it's like a third higher.
Yes, it is.
Okay. Thank you for the explanation.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you. Any other questions, comments? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Item 7, under the City Attorney's Office, an ordinance appointing 2 full-time municipal judges and 1 associate part-time municipal judge to preside over the City of Dallas Municipal Court of Records for a term ending May 31st, 2014.
Move approval. Second.
We've got a motion second. Any discussion? Ms. Grayson?
You know, I just want to say that I know this is going to pass because there's 8 votes, at least 8 votes. I'm very troubled by the fact that we're doing this without having a policy discussion to see whether these changes are indeed changes that we want to make to our courts. And I guess I want to say that just because you can do something doesn't mean you should do it. And I'm just very troubled by this. And I'll be voting against it.
Thank you, Ms. Grayson. Ms. Morgolin.
Thank you. I feel very strongly that what's happening here is wrong. The Judicial Committee worked very hard to come up with their recommendations. and when the committee's recommendations didn't include particular judges, a determination was made that another way could be found to go around the committee and come up with a mechanism for doing that. It's based on after-the-fact reasons to justify a desired outcome. And it's just very disappointing to me that we did not go through a procedure that we would normally go through to come up with a policy change, as Ms. Grayson said. And I also share Ms. Hunt's concerns about the relationship between the plaintiff judges and their lawyer. And I don't think that that's been fully resolved. And so I cannot in good conscience vote for this. Thank you.
Thank you. And you, Ms. Hunt.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I agree with my colleagues who've spoken on this. I'm very concerned about the precedents this sets. There was no strategic thinking involved in why we would need two additional full-time judges. Why not three? Why not four? But more than that, there's been a discussion that this has no cost impact on the city, and colleagues, that is simply not accurate. That's not true. The idea being that if we have two full-time judges, they cost us benefits that we don't pay to part-time judges. The part-time judges right now are apparently working for 4 hours, getting paid for 4 hours, but not being productive for 4 hours. Well, colleagues, we have a new administrative judge, and between him and A.C. Gonzalez, they've committed to ensuring that our part-time judges work their full 4 hours. So if we have productive work from our part-time judges, and we're not paying them to sit around and do nothing, then the balance of cost tilts, and it means that we're going to be paying more to add two full-time judges because we're paying benefits.
Please, guys, let's be quiet back here.
That's significant. And I don't think we should ignore that simply because it's politically expedient. AC, can I ask you a question? I think towards the end of this review, and as a result of the conversations that have been going on the last couple of weeks, it's come to light that our part-time judges are not used as efficiently as possible, that taxpayers aren't getting the benefit of 4 hours' work when these part-time judges go to do their magisterial duties over at Lucerne. Is that right?
Yes.
Right now, these part-time judges are getting paid for 4 hours, but sometimes they work less than that. In fact, often they work less than that.
That's correct.
Would you agree that that's something that city staff and the administrative judge need to examine?
Yes.
Would you agree that that's something that we would likely need to change so that we ensure that we're receiving the full benefit of 4 hours of work?
That's what we're committed to see about making happen.
If we do make that happen, would you agree that it would cost less to have part-time judges working a full four-hour time period than it would to hire full-time judges to which we have to extend benefits?
Just by definition, that work done by an associate that is not paid benefits would be less.
Okay, I hope everyone heard that. Thank you, AC. It will cost us more to do this, colleagues. Make no mistake, it will cost us more. There were a couple of memos that went out earlier this week from two of my colleagues, Ms. Hill and Ms. Hasso, explaining why it was important that these two judges be added, these two full-time judges be added, Ms. Williams and Mr. Gonzalez. There were statements made in those memos that it's important for us to follow the recommendation of the JNC. Well, colleagues, I want to point out a couple of things. If indeed those supporting this idea of adding two full-time judges think it's so important to follow the recommendation of the Judicial Nominating Commission, then here are the judges that we would be supporting today. Terry Chavez, Cheryl Williams, and then Monica Purdy. Why then would we be supporting Tim Gonzalez, who is not next on the list of the JNC, and why would we be supporting Ruth Logan, who is not next on the list? It appears that they have some benefit conferred by the council members and some relationship with council members that got them on this list. So I don't want anyone to go away from here thinking that these folks that we're supporting today got there.
Hey, Ms. Davis, I will not have that. Thank you.
Because they were somehow superior on the JNC list. They're not higher on the JNC list, and we can talk about that, we can look at that, but the fact's the fact. I want to move now to talking about conflicts of interest. Because the fact of the matter is, four judges, after not being reinstated by the city council, decided to sue the city because they were unhappy that they lost their jobs. And they did not recognize the legitimate ability of the city council to make that crucial decision on who serves on our courts. So they sued the city. That lawsuit, colleagues, is still pending. And the fact of the matter is, at one of the hearings, they were represented by an attorney who is one of the most prolific traffic ticket defense attorneys in the city of Dallas. So we need to let that sink in. We don't know if Randall Scott, this traffic ticket attorney, represented these judges pro bono. Did he do it for free? Did he do it at a discount? We don't know. Why, when those judges were suing the city on a constitutional law basis, a due process issue, did they choose an attorney that has no constitutional law experience, that practices only in city courts, not in federal courts, but in city courts, on traffic tickets? Why would they make that decision? That's unusual, don't we think? And colleagues, how does this look to the public? How does it look to the public when we're welcoming back in open arms these judges who have sued the city that we have rightfully not reinstated? We are writing their names into our budget. We are creating new positions for them. They've sued the city, and they've hired the best traffic attorney in the city of Dallas to represent them at court. How do we think that appears to people? It does not appear that our courts are fair and impartial. It would appear to the average person who has a traffic ticket that they need to call up Randall Scott. If they've got a traffic ticket, they know who they need to call, because he's got an in with some of these judges, and that is wrong. There's something called a motion for recusal, and that is when you believe a judge cannot be fair and impartial, or you believe that the judge presents that there is a matter of impropriety. In those cases, you would move to recuse that judge. You would ask that judge to step down. Now, in these cases, it would make sense for the city attorney's office to request that any time Randall Scott, their attorney in the lawsuit against the city, who's a prolific traffic attorney, that these judges step down from any cases that Randall Scott is presenting in their courts. And remember, these two judges will be substituting at times for full-time judges. That's what part-time judges do, and the idea was that these judges would act as part-time judges, but we would pay them full-time and pay them benefits. So they're going to be substituting at times for full-time judges who hear cases every day, hour after hour, on traffic tickets. And many of those cases are represented by Randall Scott. So we're going to have to make a motion every single time Randall Scott appears before those judges.
let's get an idea of how much Randall Scott, this prolific traffic ticket attorney who represents these judges, how often is he in the courts down on Main Street here? Last year, he represented 2,400 defendants. 2,400. Let's put that in perspective. Every workday, he represents 10 defendants. He's at trial 10 times. He's before a judge 10 times a day, 5 days a week. That's a lot. How much are we going to have our city attorneys, our prosecutors, running around instead of prosecuting criminals, prosecuting code violators? We're going to have them running around on some administrative process requesting that these judges recuse themselves. And make no mistake, that's what is going to have to happen, because they aren't going to voluntarily do it, at least according to their other attorney, Stanley Mays, who also practices at times in front of the municipal court on traffic tickets, because they're not going to voluntarily step down, because he said that would imply that they would be acknowledging bias. Well, this certainly has the appearance of impropriety. So all of this that folks are saying, this is easy, this is no problem, we'll just add our friends to the court, and if we can't get our way in one procedural measure, we'll do it in another. We'll just start stacking the court. We'll just create new positions in the budget form. That is going to create a cost to the city. And Tanelle, I know you were concerned with cost a moment ago when we talked about $25,000. That's going to create significantly more cost than that. And it's also going to create an administrative nightmare for city prosecutors to have to request recusal. How much time is that going to take? Now, Mr. Mayor, if we had done this in a slow and deliberate process, we'd have answers to these questions. We would know the answer. We'd know how long it would take if we had to do motions for recusal, if we selected certain judges. We'd have time to have vetted that out, but we didn't do that. We did not do that. Mr. Perkins, I have a question about this lawsuit. Is this lawsuit against the city where these four judges have sued myself and all 14 of my colleagues in name? Is that lawsuit still pending against the city of Dallas and all 15 council members?
Ms. Hunt, that lawsuit is still pending at this time, yes.
And as far as you know, then, this suit hasn't been settled?
The suit has not been settled, that is correct.
And without asking you to go into specifics, have the plaintiffs or their attorneys contacted you about settling this lawsuit?
No, they have not.
So, colleagues, we're writing in judges into our budget who sued the city, who are still suing the city, who are represented by a prolific traffic attorney. They haven't withdrawn their suit. There's no talks of settlement. It is inconceivable to me that we are at the place where we are today and that we haven't done this slowly or deliberately. What message, colleagues, does this send to the residents of Dallas? We either want our courts to be fair and impartial, and that is the task that was set out for us. We want them to be fair and impartial, or we do not. What message does this send to the judges we have appointed? That we want our courts to be fair and impartial, that we want them to mete out justice as thoughtfully and as carefully as possible, that we want them, for example, to go to Irving as our administrative judge. Took city staff to Irving just this week with our city attorney. They went over their colleagues to see how another city does their best practices. How do they run their courts? How can we do better? And Judge Solis hit the ground running.
That's the message we want to send. But aren't we sending a conflicting message when we both do that on the one hand? Try to pick the very best judges who will work as a team to implement change in our courts, to improve our courts. And then on the other hand, when some of the council is not happy that their friends were not appointed to the bench, they instead make a motion to add them to the budget. It is wrong, it sends the wrong message, and it tells our current judges that we selected that they need to make friends with council members if they want to keep their job, because all they have to do, colleagues, is sue the city of Dallas if we don't select them in a couple years, and then get some of us to write them back into the budget. If they're not selected again, that's all they do. I hope you'll join me in opposing this proposal. It's wrong, it sends the wrong message, it should have been vetted, and it's going to cost the city money.
Thank you, Ms. Hunt. Mr. Caraway.
Thank you, Mayor, and I want to thank that pre-mayoral speech of Ms. Hunt. That was very good. Let me just say, Mr. Perkins, you need to come up to the microphone for just a quick second. That's number one. And since we began to call names out here, and you put Randall Scott out here, and you put Stanley Mays out here, and you put this entire council out here saying that of our friends. I don't know nothing about Kim Gonzalez. I don't know where Cheryl Williams lives, what kind of car she drives, if she's married or not. She's not. She's a judge. And that's what I look at. And I personally resent and think you owe this Dallas City Council an apology for associating us as saying our friends. And I'm speaking for myself, Ms. Hunt. That's number one. Mr. Perkins, to you, and to address this lawsuit that is taking place. Is it not true that HKS has sued this city once before? We've been in litigation with them, and we continue to do business. You don't have to answer that. I'll put that on the record myself. Is it not true that Columbia Packing is suing us right now? We still just gave them a permit for a certificate of occupancy. Is that lawsuit not pending at this moment? I'm listening, yes. Mr. Perkins.
Yes.
Thank you very kindly. I find it very disturbing that we will say and show that someone is suing, but yet we should distance ourselves. But when other people sue us, we still embrace and continue to move forward, as we are doing with these other companies that are currently suing us now, and we're still doing business with, and are still giving permits to continue to operate as a partner with us in our city. You know, when you look at this for really what it is, it's really disheartening with some of the comments and some of the things that we've been faced with. Ms. Hunt, you are an attorney, a lawyer. You're term limited. You're on your last term. And I would assume that when you leave the Dallas City Council, you're going to be practicing law. I would just want to know if you plan to go to municipal court to represent anybody, because you appointed each and every one of these judges. Will you turn down all cases at municipal court? You have to answer right now, because I have the floor at this point, Ms. Hunt. You can say what you want to say, but someone with a traffic ticket is going to have to go to that court. Someone that has a civil case may come to you as a lawyer, or other folks as lawyers. So it is very unfair to imposition these judges. I read the letter from Stanley Mays last night, and the law in his letter said that we cannot, as a council, force a judge to recuse themselves, because by state law, so said in his letter, it has to happen case by case. Other than that, now we're asking the judges to break the law if indeed we force them to recuse themselves. And why did they find it necessary to sue the city of Dallas? Were they suing us for damages, or were they suing us because that is the only next step that the judges had in the judicial system to allow their voices to be heard? It is unfair to say that these judges sued us because they didn't get their job. They only filed a suit because that was the next process that is afforded to every American in the United States of America to have their voices heard. If you disagree, then you have only one additional recourse, and that is to say to the court, "Judge, we disagree." So what is the process? The process is for the judge to say, "Hey, you guys sit down and at least listen to both sides." They have that right. It would be different if they were suing us for damages. It would be different if they were suing us for $1 million. They're not doing that. They filed a temporary restraining order trying to stop the process, in which is the only avenue that's afforded to every citizen in the United States of America. And they followed that process, and it is wrong for us to disregard that process and opportunities that they have afforded to them just because we are being challenged. That is not fair. And lastly, and I'm going to close because I'm going to have a round two if necessary. We're talking about names. We've put a black eye on the judges, in my personal opinion, by making them appear that they are being very selfish in trying to secure their position. We've given Cheryl a black eye. This is a black eye that a judge that this council appointed 2 years ago, that did not have a problem with 2 years ago, all of a sudden is thrown out the door. But the reason that she's thrown out the door concerns me more. And what the public does not know, and you said that it was personal, you labeled us as having friends. Well, it's friends on both sides, because Maureen Dickey, Commissioner Maureen Dickey, is somebody's friend here that had it out with her. I'm looking at you and I'm telling you, all of you, I know what went on. I was trying not to bring up the name, but since you're going to bring up Randy, you're going to bring up Stanley, you're going to let's bring it all up and put it out here.
Mr. Carraway, I'm
on this end, I'm just trying to really make sure folks understand. Now, there are friends on both sides of the aisle, and Maureen was the one that fell out with Cheryl. Let's be real clear. And if Commissioner Dickey wants to say something to me, then we'll ask. We'll ask for phone records, we'll ask for everything we need there for. But now, here's the deal. So let's talk about outside influence here and friendship and why this took place and why you all are so adamant against this one particular judge that served in the juvenile court that had a falling out with somebody's friend, since y'all want to talk about friends here. And let me be real clear. I'm meaning exactly what I'm saying. And I have everything to back it up. Now, we're trying to work this process through and fairly. And the only thing we're saying is to let's do the process correctly. But you all don't even want to talk to us. You want to act like what we're saying is, and here's the thing with the committee. The committee has a recommendation, but the committee is a part of the council, and if the council doesn't have to agree with the committee, so why is it that you all just blankly said the committee this and the committee this and the committee that? Well, if we must follow the committee's recommendation, then why the need for the Dallas City Council? Just have a committee to make all decisions for the city. We don't have to agree with you. But when we know the back door and the real back door and everything associated with it, y'all want to play the game? Let's play the game. Throw the puck down and let's hit the ball.
Thank you, Mr. Carraway. Mr. Allen.
The process. We hear about personalities and such, but what was the process? What was the intent? I hadn't heard too much about that. Process was was there. It was open. Everyone was invited. Everyone could have come. Had a discussion about it. I was this particular committee. I served on it. And I would say that of the committees I've been on, it was probably one of the most thoughtful committees that I've served on. It was forward thinking about what it wanted to see and how it wanted to build team play and work together. All parties come together. All parties come together for the common good of the citizens to develop the best municipal court system in the United States. We said that every single time we met. That was our goal. We talked about it on the front end. We talked about it on the back end of every single meeting that we had. So the process to me was open, very fair, very forward-thinking. Forward-thinking. I have a problem. I do have a problem when I do have, in this particular case, judges suing myself and my colleagues. I do have a problem with that. I question sometimes maybe the whether or not the ability to work together for the common good down the road. I do have a problem. I do have a problem where these four judges pick a traffic ticket attorney to represent them. Perception? Absolutely. The first thing, perception of something like that, I have a problem with. I have a problem with that. I have a problem when I see the petition and that they sent out. That in the petition, just over and over, but just one or two sentences, I note, says the city council has a history of violating judges' rights and removing them from the bench. The city council has a history of violating judges' rights. And I have a problem with when I read that and then wanting to endorse a judge or judges. I have a problem when I see in the petition that I'm being sued, it says, in this instance, the city council has gone even further by going outside the law and manipulating the independence of the judiciary. I have a problem. I have a problem with this. At the end of the day, it does get back to perception and how our citizens perceive us. This was pretty simple process. This is not a budget issue. It has nothing to do with budget issue, according to what we've been told. If we're just going to do some, take away some part time, put in some full time. It has nothing to do with that. If that was the case, then why not would we have at least had, and I agree with Councilman Carraway, why not had the discussion about how do we then, what can we do? How do we bring either the inclusion, how do we go about this process without it being, in a sense, almost forced into this? How did we have a deeper conversation and bring it to conclusion, hopefully within a 90-day period of time, utilizing staff to tell us what's in the best interest of the municipal courts and the best interest of the citizens. I will not be in favor of this for the reasons I've so stated, and I still think there's time that we can heal this. I think there's time that we can delay this for 90 days, have this conversation, and then all of us come back together, and we very well might come to the conclusion that's in this. But let's give it some breathing room for 90 days, and then come back. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Allen. Mr. Griggs. I'm sorry. You don't?
No.
Okay. Ms. Allen, then. I mean, Ms. Davidson.
Thank you, Mayor, and hopefully we can move forward in a minute. I would like to thank Delia. Delia Hassos sent a really good memo to the mayor on September the 14th, and I'm reading it. And one of the things that's in the memo that was sent to our mayor is talking about Cheryl Williams and all the volunteer service that this lady has done over the years. All of the volunteer work with the prostitution court, working with night court, working with juvenile system, working with kids in school. The list go on and on and on, all the work that this lady has done in our community. And all of a sudden, she's considered a outsource, a bad judge. This is just not true. I don't know where Cheryl lives. I don't even know the type of car Cheryl drives. And for Angela to put that out there is wrong, Ms. Hunt. Mayor, if you run against you, I'm going to be supporting you. To talk about Judge Gonzalez, his work, he's bilingual. And that makes him, I thought you need a bilingual judge in the court. I mean, something happened along the way. And I don't know what happened. But you know, rumors get around. And the rumor that I heard, just like Mr. Caraway said, that one of the commissioners called up here and talked to one of the council members. That's the word on the street. And they good friends, they best friends, and I didn't know that. So, and I ain't saying no names. So, and we was also told the word on the street.
Let's not do that.
Angela put this out there, man. We didn't put it out there. She started name dropping.
Let's just stick to the facts.
She started name dropping and trying to throw somebody under the bus. She started the name dropping. So when the name dropping started hitting her, she don't want to accept it. She needs to get all the facts. Word on the street. So I will say this, I don't know, and I sure don't know who Tim Gonzalez is. I don't even know where the man live at. So again, if you, I don't even know what type of car he drives. So she needs to stop it. It's wrong what she's doing. It's wrong. She go to the paper. It's wrong. Ms. Hunt, you got a lot of work to do. You got a lot of healing to do. Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you, Ms. Davis. Ms. Judge Hill.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Pontification and demonization are the easiest public speeches to make, particularly when you're operating on less than accurate information and when you don't want to be disagreed with, or when you don't want to compromise. In our business as public servants, compromise is always a good thing. This motion today has come as an effort at compromise. I've heard the word process more than once in this discussion. I want to drop back to the beginning of the process. The beginning of the process is the Judicial Nominating Commission. The commission is a neutral body of highly respected citizens, most of whom are officers of the court, the chair of which is a judge, a sitting judge in Dallas County. The Judicial Nominating Commission recommends persons based on merit standards, which they articulate. There are five standards, one of which was the candidate's view on improving the court system. Those recommendations then go to a council committee. The council committee has yet to articulate the standard by which the selections were made. I admire Ms. Hasso for being able to say, perhaps we could have done that differently. Perhaps we could have listened better. It takes a lot to have made a decision, but to step up publicly and say, I need to rethink that. And in addition to that, I need to listen to people who disagree with me. Ab initio, six council members, including myself, disagreed with the committee's selection. I can think of no good reason why my judgment is any less valid than that of persons who have never sat on a bench and who certainly have not spent years in the municipal court system. I go back to pontification and demonization, and I remind my fellow members of the bar that under the code of conduct, it is a violation for a lawyer to publicly disparage another lawyer or a judge. And if one of my bar colleagues is sitting here who is not aware of that, please now be placed on notice. Randall Scott is a prolific traffic attorney, but it's because Randall Scott is good. He is the best. He's the top of the list. There are several other prolific traffic attorneys who practice in the Dallas Municipal Courts. Colleagues, please be aware that I, Von Phil Jones Hill, was sued by the city of Dallas while I was on the bench, while I served as a municipal judge. The mayor at the time was Laura Miller. The city attorney was Madeline Johnson. And the person who represented me was Randall Scott, by my choice, because he is the best. Randall represented me at trial. He represented me at the appellate, at the intermediate appellate level, and at the Texas Supreme Court, and won. I don't want to see this lawyer disparaged and demonized by another member of the bar who clearly knows neither the rules nor the bar nor this lawyer. As for what the judges can commit to ahead of time, there is also something called a Code of Judicial Conduct. The Code of Judicial Conduct absolutely forbids judges from premature decisions on cases that might come before them. If a case might come before a judge where recusal is necessary, that must be done on a case-by-case basis. If we want to talk about an administrative nightmare, let's talk about the fact that we have 50% of the judges now who have no experience, who do not know how to run a docket, whose courts are being covered now by associates, and who will not understand either the courts, the procedure, or what it takes to be a judge in any less than a 12-month period. That is not a job one steps off the street and knows how to do immediately. It takes time to learn how to be a judge. That means those dockets have to be covered by someone. The two full-timers that we propose and the part-timer has a depth of experience and can help move those dockets while we wait for people who were at the bottom of the JNC list to get up to speed. My esteemed colleague is not correct in her assessment of the cost. Again, pontification and demonization. The judges who sued on the basis of improper process and impediment of the independence of the judiciary. They should have. If I could join them, I would, but I would be in a very uncomfortable position of suing myself. The independence of the judiciary is paramount, not only in this city, but in this country. Again, I am shocked at a member of the bar who does not understand the paramount significance of the independence of the judiciary and who appears to have selected people based on financial considerations and considerations that came out of a management study as opposed to considerations that the Judicial Nominating Commission used, such as knowledge of the law and judicial temperament. I'm absolutely shocked, but I will not demonize, label, or call names of a fellow board member because I'm a proud member of the State Bar of Texas. I have been for over 30 years. I'm a proud retired judge. I'm very proud to be called the title of judge. I'm very proud of what I do, and I'm saddened that disagreement means that I'm demonized and name-called and given fodder to the Dallas Morning News editorial board, which has done no more research, has no more experience than my ill-informed but very loud counsel colleague. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Atkins.
May I ask a question? Do you think you can answer the question?
I'll try.
Okay. For the JNC vacancy, do you know which council member did not have a person on that nominated committee when it was taken?
No, I don't.
I think Rose know that. Is she here? I asked. I know why she left. So. Is she close by?
Yes, she is.
Oh, while we're doing that, Tom Perkins, please. Tom, when was JNC committed formulating the city of Dallas?
It was 20 years ago.
Why was it formed?
It's an advisory body to the city council to make recommendations regarding judges and other items associated with the municipal court.
Do they have to have qualification to be on that committee?
I'd have to check and see the answer to that.
Could you,
Mr. Atkins,
since you been a city attorney for the last 3 or 4 years, most people who were selected to JNC, are they attorneys? Most stuff by law, recent. Do you know?
Many are attorneys, not all of them, but many are attorneys. Yes.
So as far as the majority of people on the JNC are legal or attorney or close to it, but you don't know because
I don't want to. All I know is that many are attorneys, Mr. Atkins. I don't want to say majority or not. It may be, but I'd really have to check.
Okay. On the committee, when we, in the last, well, just for the last 5 years, if you have to take a poll and you look at the JNC, the recommendation of the JNC committee, could you say that in the top 11, the top 12, what percentage of those JNC recommendations did recommend to the committee that came to council as judges?
Mr. Atkins, I would have to check to make sure. I think many of them are ultimately approved by the city council, but I don't have the specific.
But you know, since there was a whole lot of questions asked, and if I'd have known that it was going to be a Q&A and colleagues were going to submit your question to answer, I would give you my list also. But since it's too late to do that, Rosa, since you're here, can you come forward, please?
Yes, sir.
How many JNC vacancies was on the nominee committee at the time of the nomination for the committee selection of the judges?
We would have to research that. Right. I know that at the last report, which would have been yesterday, was that there's three vacancies.
And would you please call those three vacancies and who they were?
Deputy Mayor Pro Tem Atkins.
Okay.
Councilmember Caraway and Councilmember Davis.
Okay. Now,
the three existing
and colleagues, I'm going to be very clear to everyone on here. Never accuse me. Please, don't do that. You don't call and don't accuse me. I don't like to be accused of anything. The last time someone accused me, they lost. And my name means more to me than anything. My name, Atkins. It means that I would die for that, I would fight for that, because that's my legacy. Atkins. Now, yes.
Mr. Atkins, we did do the research. The vacancy for Councilmember Caraway's appointment occurred July 1, as well as for Councilmember Davis. And, well, for Councilmember Davis, her position has been vacant since 2010.
Okay.
And then for your appointee and Councilmember Caraway's, they've been vacant since July 1st of 2012.
Okay.
The JNC did meet June 15, June 27, and August the 3rd.
Right.
The city secretary has not sent me a letter since I got the last letter was in 2010. I did have someone, but they dropped out because they didn't want to do it. So I'm looking for someone else.
Thank you. The reason why I'm saying this, when I get accused, and I think I get accused, I do my due diligence. I don't have anyone on the JNC to be part of the committee. So I did not have a relationship with someone who did evaluation as a representative of District 8. By saying that, when someone said relationship or cronies or whatever you want to call it, I get offended because I really don't know what that means. And I hope it wasn't talking to me. If it was not talking to me, I would apologize to that person, whoever, on the fire person. But the JNC recommendation, who would know, would that be the city secretary or you, Tom Perkins? If you take the ranking in the top 11 of the ranking, would Tim Gonzalez or Cheryl Williams would be in the top 11 of the ranking? Because I heard that they was not. Do anyone have the ranking? I want to do the evaluation. I just want to have a little bit of I did hear.
Mr. Perkins, let's come on, guys. Let's answer Mr. Atkins' question.
I'll have to get the rankings for you, Mr.
Atkins. I thought, give them to Mr. Perkins.
Okay, Mr. Perkins, I heard early that Tim Gonzalez was not in the top 11 ranking. Is that a true statement or not?
This appears to be that he was in the top 11.
He was in the top 11. I want to make sure, do correction. We want to correct everything. I don't want to have people make a mistake. We all, it's human. But if we are not, and we have a committee that make a recommendation, we also as council members have a committee on the CPC for zoning. We have zoning recommendation from our CPC. We all have to have staff recommendation for zoning issue or SUP or PDs, whatever. And sometimes we do overrule those recommendations, those appointees. But we respect those recommendations. What I'm saying today is, number one, Mr. Perkins and colleagues, if we believe in the JNC and the process of how this is going on, and we are so far apart, the JNC recommend 11 people. How many people of the JNC was recommended by the committee that made the top 11?
I think it's five or six.
Which one? I mean, it can't be five or six. It got to be one or the other.
Mr. Atkins, it was five or six. I will get you a response. I want to make sure that my answer is correct.
So do we know which 11 judges have been recommended? They've been sworn in? And we should know that versus which one that we are talking about today. I mean, that's simple. I said Secretary keeps good records.
Perkins, we don't have a list of the judges up. Is that what you got?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Let's do this.
All right, who was ultimately appointed? Were Michael Acuna, Paula Aldana, Julie Clancy, Shireen Eldemiri, Catherine Long, William Marple, Jay Robinson, Preston Robinson, Daniel Ryan, Daniel Solis, and Tony Martin. I'm sorry,
Judge Lander. Okay, so the 11 people, the JNC their recommendation was subtract those from the one that the committee did a recommendation. So how many did the JNC make the top 11?
Julie Clancy.
to marry. Evan Walsh. William Martin was 12. Jay Robinson. Preston Robinson. Daniel Ryan is a
Five who were recommended by the Judicial Nominating Commission were ultimately appointed by the Dallas District.
So we're winning 50% then, followed by 45% of the JNC recommendation.
That's correct.
Just for exercise home, don't do it now. Just go back the last 5 years and just give me what percent of judges that the JNC recommend there. My colleagues, my concern number one is if we as council members have a committee, a nominees committee, the JNC that is appointed by the council, and their recommendation is so low, so therefore, Tom, we have a serious problem of our JNC to do evaluation on judges. And I think we need to look at this, you know, today and going forward. To me, I see the problem in our evaluation of that. It might be too late, but I just want to bring this out. There is a whole lot of loose holes in this process. With that, Mayor, I close. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Mayor, one point of order.
Yes, please.
Very short. Mr.
Carraway.
Mr. Atkins, you asked a question about the board appointments that served on the JNC. And I just want to clarify the fact that my appointee is Andre Turner. And during the time of this process, Andre did attend those meetings in that were held in June. He's now, the position is now vacant, waiting for his reinstatement, but he was a part of the JNC for their meetings in June. I just wanted to make that clarification.
Thank you. Ms. Hussle?
Thank you, Mayor. And yes, you all received a memo from me last week as the co-chair of the Ad Hoc Judicial Nominating Committee, or Ad Hoc Judicial Committee. And I just want to make a couple of points to reiterate them. The committee did a great job, and I have to hand it to my colleagues who served on that committee. As I stated before, we met many, many times on Friday afternoon sometimes and stayed here till 5 or 6 at night. So the committee did a great job. Now, what we have to remember is the committee's recommendations are simply that. They're recommendations. Every one of our committees that we serve on today, we recommend to the full council. It is not an end-all be-all. And Judge Hill is correct. I stand very proudly to say maybe we didn't do one thing or two things right. Maybe we should have considered the JNC recommendations and given it more weight. And we all sat there and we gave weight to the management study, which I think was very important, and we needed that, and we continue to need that to move forward. But committee recommendations are simply that. We still have to present it to the rest of the council, and every committee we serve on does that. So I don't want to assume that because a committee recommends something, that's the end-all, be-all. We all have the opportunity to weigh in. We all have the opportunity to say, you know, would you please listen to my recommendation or my side of the story? And I, for one, listened to my colleagues the day that we presented that recommendation. I listened to Dwayne Carraway, Carolyn Davis, because I felt that, and I still feel this, we need to listen to each other more, and we need to bring this council together and really understand what we're trying to do and say, instead of having backroom meetings or meetings with three and four people, which, by the way, could be illegal, and let's talk to each other. I didn't have one conversation with my co-chair on this. So, again, committee recommendations are simply recommendations. They are not the end-all, be-all, and I agree with Judge Hill. We are not here to demonize each other. We are here to sit and listen to each other just like we do our constituents. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you, Ms. Hasso. A couple of people want to say something else. Let's keep it to 2 minutes. Mr. Allen.
And I agree absolutely with Councilwoman Hasso, who did a fantastic job of vice chair. The committee is strictly nothing more than recommendations. Those recommendations come to full council. Full council goes through the process. They vote on the recommendations. The vote is taken. It's up or down, and then we move forward. Or we take a different approach. But that's exactly what happened. The committee made the recommendations. They brought them. A vote was taken. And then from that is where we're at now, is what happened after the vote. And so that's my comments, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Ms. Hill. I'm sorry, Mr. Cadane, you want to say something? Let him, he hasn't said anything first. Would you defer? Mr. Cadane?
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much, Judge and Mayor. I just got to say that, first off, I think the committee did a good job in what they did. Second of all, I got to say, everybody sitting around this table had the opportunity to be at these meetings and give us their input, which they did not. I think Ms. Grayson was there. I think Ms. Alonzo was there. They could have come and given us what they thought we should be doing and could have questioned with us the different judges we talked to. And I wish they had been. We may have had a different slate if it had been that way. So I do wish that had have happened. I do, and also I did not know everybody did not have someone on the JNC. I mean, we're sitting here discussing that things were done wrong and weren't done right, and some of us don't even have people on there on the JNC, which is not right. My concern is there's a process to hiring judges, and we need to go through the right process. And first off, we need to be briefed on these two judge seats and say, yes, we do need them, and probably we do need them. They've got a lot of stuff going on down there. But I think we should be briefed first on it, and then I think we need to go through the process. And if the mayor wants to change that process, I'm totally behind him. If he wants to put the full council in charge, but I think we need to talk with every judge that we did not allow to move forward and have our judges come from that group. And I'm talking all of them. Even the ones that are suing us should be in that process. But there's a process, and we need to go through the process to have it done. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Cadane. Ms. Hill.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Ms. Councilmember Cadane, please be aware that all of us were not available for all the committee meetings. I was not available, even though I was a member of the committee, and I made it a written statement that I would not be present. So please be aware of that. And there are reasons for that, which I do not intend to say in the public. However, even though I was not there, I did offer input. That input was ignored. I reiterate, we are here this morning because of a compromised position. When you have six council members disagreeing with what you've done, there ought to be some alert to say, let me listen to you and hear what you're saying and try to come to some compromise. Mayor Rawlings has been trying to get this situation compromised from the beginning. We are now at a situation where we have reached what is a reasonable compromise. It appears to me to be a reasonable compromise. This council will have to move forward together from today. This is a divide that does not have to exist. because these judges, Mr. Cadane, did go through the process. They are experienced. They have 16 and 17 years experience on the bench. They were highly rated by the JNC, and they ranked ahead of more than 50% of the people that the majority of this council voted for and voted to put on the bench. Six of whom have no experience whatsoever. One of whom ranked number 27 out of 27 by the JNC. It's a compromise between disagreeing council members and a substantial block. If it were just me, then we might look at it differently. It's not just me. We're talking about a substantial block of council members. We're talking about people who can do the work and who have experience. Mr. Atkins, I want to address the issue of the formulation and origination of the JNC. The reason I know it was nearly 20 years ago is because I was a part of that process. Lisa Christopherson is still here as well, and she drafted the original ordinance. I had just left the city attorney's office. However, the reason we implemented the JNC is exactly what we're seeing now. The council was just appointing people with no clear standard. We wanted a buffer between the council and the judges so that there could be a clear standard. I think Mr. Mayor is trying to tell me I'm over time.
Thank you, Ms. Bell.
And I hear you, that you tell me you're over time.
Okay.
I hear you tell me that. That's how we got the JNC, to make sure that we had a standard by which, and they've always articulated a standard, and the question, 9 times out of 10, I think 99.9% of the time, the council has adopted the JNC's candidates. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Ms. Hill. Mr. Carraway, 2 minutes.
Yes, sir, and I'll make this very quick. One, Mr. Cadane, the judges did go through that process, and it is... they've already gone through the process once before. One point I do want to make to this council is the point that was missed, the miscommunication. Normally and traditionally, when the committee has reached a decision, then at this point, the next point is the full council is briefed. The full council on this issue was not briefed. And had there been a briefing, and this is to the committee, there should have been a briefing of your findings to the entire council. Had that taken place, then we would have been able to at least talk about these things, but instead, it was placed immediately onto the council's public agenda for a decision. So it's very, very important that we understand the fact that we did not. So we don't have to go to a meeting because traditionally we have a briefing. So it's not right to say that the council members had an opportunity to have their input. We're sitting here waiting on the committee's report, in which we did not get in a full council briefing as we should have received. Thus, in a public forum, we had to iron it out, and it was do or die. Now, is that not something that we normally and traditionally do? We talk about it in committee. Committee makes the recommendations, and then come and present to the full council. I want the public to know we were not briefed, and this took place in open forum, and it was here it is. This is what it is. So, of course, that took the course of the public debate that we're now having. But I just want to make sure we point that out. Now, we're going to be asking for a record vote as well. So, Mayor, respectfully, we're going to ask for a record vote.
Thank you, Mr. Carraway. Ms. Davis, 2 minutes.
Thank you. I do agree with Ms. Carraway. Normally, as a chair, if something I would send information to each council member about a particular recommendation. That was not done. The only way that I found out some of this, I went to Delia and asked her what was going on at the time. And then this is when she told me, and then that's when I got with the rest of my colleagues, and including Von Seal. The chair never came to us to talk about this real important issue. Now, before it was Von Seal, Tanell and I, and Ms. Caraway, we was on the committee last year. So this year, Von Seal was on the committee. I went to Von Seal, and Von Seal had told me that she could not make the meeting. She had sent a letter to Ms. Hunt to explain it to Ms. Hunt that she couldn't meet the meeting. And afterwards, she even changed the date of one or two of the meetings. And the chair said no. So I just think that we're putting all this out there. We just got to be open and honest about the process. No, Ms. Hunt did not brief any of us until the day of when she wanted to vote. And Ms. Hunt, you did not come to me. I went to Delia.
Thank you, Ms. Davis. Ms. Hunt, 2 minutes.
Thank you, Ms. Mayor. A couple of points. To the point that Von Seal informed me that she couldn't make meetings and that I didn't change the dates of those meetings. Ms. Davis, I did. In fact, we changed the date of the meeting to a date that Ms. Hill said that she could make, and unfortunately she wasn't able to attend. I want to talk about the difference between the JNC and the City Council. The JNC was tasked with doing what they do every 2 years, which is interviewing judges and selecting them. We as the City Council, as a policy body, had a very different purpose this year. We, unlike the JNC, heard some very astute observations from A.C. Gonzalez and his team about what needs to change in our courts. The JNC did not have the benefit of that briefing. So therefore, our obligation was to look at that briefing and to figure out how we could appoint judges who would further the goals of making changes and improvements to our courts. I don't think any of us sitting around here believe that our courts are performing at the top level. They are dysfunctional. They are not performing well, and we need to make a change. And as we interviewed candidates on the committee, we were attempting to choose judges that would help us make changes to our courts. I want to go back, though, to the JNC recommendation, because for those who believe that we should have more closely followed the JNC recommendation, and I fully appreciate the work that the JNC did, I just want to point out, of the judges we didn't select, the highest ranking judge that we did not select was Kerry Chavez. Why has she not been proposed by those wanting to add 2 full-time judges and a part-time judge? She had twice the score from the JNC that Tim Gonzalez did. She had a score of 76. He had a score of 41. I'm genuinely asking this, why are the folks who are supporting this change?
Okay. Okay, if I gave you another 20 seconds. Okay, thank you. Go ahead, Ms. Hunt.
Thank you. Furthermore, Ruth Logan ranks below Monica Purdy. So why is not Ms. Purdy being supported? I mean that as a genuine question. If the folks who want to do this, they should do it. And lastly, Mr. Mayor, I would just say, I don't believe that typically the council's briefed on DART board and DFW board nominees, but I think that I think Mr. Caraway makes a good point. If the full council should be briefed on this, I think it should be as well on the DFW boards and the DART boards.
Good.
Thank you.
We will do that in the future. Any other comments? Ms. Grayson, 2 minutes.
Thank you. I just wanted to say, as I was listening to all of this conversation, again, what seemed to me is that we have some real policy decisions to make here related to perhaps how we choose our municipal judges. Do we accept the JNC recommendation with no council body? Perhaps we just forward it directly to the council instead of giving it to an ad hoc committee. Do we let the ad hoc committee change up the recommendations. We frequently on this council do not take in whole the recommendations of our committees. They make they're an advisory body. The JNC is an advisory body. Frequently, the council does not accept the recommendations of our committees. We overturn the Plan Commission on a regular basis. They make recommendations. We do a lot of changes to what our committees suggest to us. But all I'm saying is that some of us feel so strongly that we ought to have vetted this in a full council briefing before we act today to make these changes. We should have had this discussion. We should have batted this around and come up to what to decisions that we could vote on and decide this is how we're going to go forward instead of doing it the way it's being done today. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Grayson. Mr. Perkins, would you just clarify what we are voting on and on item number 7? So everybody's very clear. Please listen up.
The item is to appoint 3 municipal court judges. They are specifically named in the agenda item, and the council has the authority to do that.
And they are whom?
They are, let's see, Timoteo Gonzalez, Ruth Logan, and Judge Sarah Williams.
Okay. Thank you. I just wanted everybody's clear on that. Thank you. Mr. Gonzalez, would you, AC? I'm going to clarify something to this notion on cost. Okay? I am under the understanding that this is a cost neutral decision that we are making.
Yes, sir.
Thank you. Mr. Solis. Judge Solis, thank you very much. Judge. Is it more efficient to have 13 judges versus 11?
Yes, sir, it is. It's always more efficient to have full-time judges over part-time help.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate it. I just want to clarify that. Counsel, that's it, Judge. Thank you very much. I appreciate you. Judge, as I think through this, you know, how I vote is, I've realized, has a personal aspect to it, how I personally feel as a city council person in place 15, and then how we work as a city and how we are coming together as a city. I am aligned completely with the committee's objective of reforming our courts, and I think that it takes a holistic approach to reform them, and judges are a key part of that. We've got things to do in the back room. We've got things to do with the police force, but judges are key. And so the process got us many of those judges that we thought were going to help us reform those courts, and hopefully they will. The process was not perfect, and several of us have mentioned that. I personally believe there are a lot of wise and experienced individuals in the JNC, and as I studied those reports and studied that data, I agree with Ms. Hasso that wisdom was not in the consideration to the extent it should be. I further ask, with this new decision that we're trying to undertake, if we live by the city code, ask that this morning to Mr. Perkins, and he said we did. Okay. So we have not done anything from a process standpoint that was against the city code. It was complicated by Ms. Hasso's decision to want to revisit this. But until we take a final vote, I think each of us as city council people should be intellectually open to consider all the facts in place. And so when Ms. Hasso decided to have a different point of view, different mechanisms have been used to consider this. It is cost neutral and it is more efficient. So I don't think it's anything that is going to be bad for our city. I do want to tell the citizens, and first of all, I want to compliment our city council on the tenor of this debate. There's a lot of passion around this. I know there is, and a lot of hurt feelings, a lot of things, but I think this discussion today was done in a very professional manner, as best you can when you have a situation like this. And I want to say to the citizens that I have lived and worked with these council members now for over 14 months, and you've got a good council. A lot of people will report, and a lot of people will say to me, well, man, everything's crazy up there at City Hall, okay? And it's not true. We've got thoughtful individuals that care about this issue and are advocating in the correct manner for it. And so I think it's simplistic to paint it that way. And I think just on the opposite thing, we're trying to reform our courts. And you know what? It's not going to be easy. It's not one way gets it. You have to kind of listen, and you have to think about it. And frankly, it's not a race issue either. This is an issue that people felt that other people didn't listen to them. There was plenty of time to do that probably, but in the long run, that's the issue, was a sense of alienation. And there was always time to listen after we got the report back from the committee. I agree that we need to be briefed as a whole council on this. I'm very disappointed that the lack of spirit of compromise was not there. And if I could challenge us as a council, I would ask us to look to each other and say, how can I meet you halfway on this issue, and I think we'll be better. Then there's the whole question of competency. I don't know these people's cars either. I don't know personally, have those relationships. But I have learned that Cheryl Williams is a fine judge. She is a judge that is one of the hardest working judges there is. She gives back in an amazing way to the community. I asked people to criticize her, and I talked to a lot of people, and the one criticism was her temper. But for a lot of hardline citizens in this town, they wish judges would be a little harder and wish they would just tell folks how the cow ate the cabbage as opposed to being mealy-mouthed. So for some people, that's not even a negative. But she was a fine, fine judge, and the JNC gave her that. So, but the question is, where are we today? And Mr. Allen, you hit the nail on the head. To me, this is about perception. One perception is that this is cronyism and friends. That is just not true. While there are personal relationships that different people have, I don't think anyone's doing this to take care of friends. The other perception is what came to light yesterday for me. and that was one of the primary ticket lawyers was arguing the case of these five lawyers in court. I'm not judging the individuals themselves for making that decision, and what they did is very legal. What the ticket lawyers do is very legal, but I don't have to condone it. And it sends a terrible, terrible perceptual issue as far as I'm concerned. It's one that I didn't sleep well last night thinking about, because I want to be inclusionary and I want to make sure that we all listen to each other as we struggle with the issues that we're going to be facing. On the other hand, perception is reality, and when we have judges that are this close to a lawyer that represents them, it has the perception that judges are not unbiased. So it really gets back to how we work as a city. And as I think through that, I think the perceptual issue is the biggest one that I'm wrestling with. So I'm not going to be able to vote for this slate as represented, and I will consider anything else, but at this point I'm going to say no to it. So Mr. Caraway has asked for a record vote, so all the people that vote aye to item 7, please raise your hand.
Yes.
Okay, please.
As I call your name, will you state yes if you're in favor of or no if you're in opposition to? Mayor Rawlings?
No.
Mayor Pro Tem Medrano?
Yes.
Deputy Mayor Pro Tem Atkins?
Yes.
Councilmember Hosso?
Yes.
Councilmember Griggs? Councilmember Caraway?
Yes, yes.
Councilmember Hill?
Yes.
Councilmember Alonzo?
Yes.
Councilmember Davis?
Yes.
Councilmember Cadane?
Yes.
Councilmember Allen?
No.
Councilmember Coop?
No.
Councilmember Grayson?
No.
Councilmember Margolin?
No.
Councilmember Hunt?
No.
There's eight votes in opposition, this item fails.
Thank you. Mr. Atkins?
Could I have a floor amendment? I wanted to nominate Cheryl Williams.
As one of these judges?
One of the full-time judges.
Do we have a second? We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Ms. Alonzo.
And I would like to, if there is a friendly amendment, to add Mr. Gonzalez.
I'm just going to be sure. Thank you.
A substitute motion to accept, to add Cheryl and Gonzalez to this list.
Okay, we have a substitute motion to bring back those two judges. Do you want to take that as because we can also entertain that separately?
But wouldn't it be in a substitute motion?
No, it would be an additional motion after this issue.
After
okay. Okay. All right. Any discussions? Yes. Mr. Atkins.
I just made a motion to put Cheryl Williams, the full-time judge.
No,
we're a floor amendment.
A floor motion. Mr. Atkins, Mr. Perkins, what did we just vote on?
You voted on appointing Cheryl Williams and Timothy O. Gonzalez as full-time judges and Ruth Logan as associate judge.
And that failed.
And that failed, right.
Okay.
the floor is open to another floor amendment on, I mean, floor motion,
motion right.
on this issue.
Right.
And that's what was made.
And so we've got a motion and second. Mr. Allen.
Councilman Atkins, could I make a friendly amendment to have conversation for about this for the next whatever length of time you would want, 30, 60 days, where we discuss what we just talked about as far as the part-time, the other judges, and then adding judges and coming back to maybe just having more of an in-depth discussion about it?
No.
No. So what's the time you're talking about, Sheriff?
I'd leave it to you, 60 days.
I think we need to go move on.
Okay.
Okay. Mr. Carraway.
Yeah, let me just say, and respectfully, I understand that, Jerry, but certainly we're sitting here, I'm personally, I'll just speak for myself, I'm tired of the pain. And I want to put this behind us today, let's hit the ball, take it or leave it. This is going to be a sore spot for a period of time, and this council mayor, we are very disappointed in the way the first vote went. However, I'm pleased that we're still talking about it, but I'm tired of begging and then have to behave. You know, I'm begging and I'm behaving, and that's something that's very, very difficult for me to digest. And we sit here and we pour out our feelings and support. And it has been demonstrated here today that no one is hearing us. It has been demonstrated to this city and to this community that no one is hearing us. But so be it. So we continue to lay down again and throw our coats over the water, and we beg to let us across. Please let us across. And that's disheartening as a man to sit here and to be talking about qualified people and to allow someone in our community to be just beat over the head that does not deserve it, does not deserve what's going to be in the newspapers tomorrow from our comments and statements of today. And the message that it sends to six of us around, seven of us around this horseshoe, is that it's either someone's way or the highway. Nothing that we have said means nothing. Nothing that we have done, nothing that we have pointed out makes a difference at all when it comes down to having your way. It's like Burger King, have it your way. We're simply asking for the support here with this and record vote. And let your vote show where you are on this particular vote that Mr. Atkins has placed on the table.
Thank you, Mr. Carraway. Ms. Davis.
You know, and this is the last vote is very disheartening because, when election time come around, then, certain people come into the community. And I'm sure going to make sure that, things are heard. Because you go all the way, like football, you go all the way. When I was pledging, you lead dogs. You go all the way. Then you get to the end, and then you punk out. You got to go all the way. You got to go all the way. And that's what I was taught when I was at North Texas State trying to pledge a sorority group. And I was lead dog because I was the shortest one. You have to go all the way. But for whatever reason, somebody got to somebody. But that's okay. That's okay. We will, as they said, this too shall pass. But when these folks come in into our community, Mr. Carraway, Mr. Atkins, Dahlia, Medrano, Buncia, we got to remember this. We have to remember it. Because sometimes, when they come, They meet with all our churches, all our community leaders, praising all the things that they're going to do. And what's so sad about it, some of them would turn on this person and vote for the next person who's running. But that's okay. This too shall pass.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Kinney wanted to say something to you. So we have a second on moving it. Okay. All in favor of calling the question. Say aye. It's 4 or 5. All right. So there's. I don't think you've got a majority on that. So. All in favor. All opposed. Nay.
Nay.
Okay. Yes, Mr. Cadain.
I was going to ask maybe city attorney. When we voted down number 7, did we not vote down those two courts?
No. Those courts were created.
We just voted down the people to put in those two courts.
That is correct, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you.
Thank you. I will call the question. I just want to say one thing. I will be voting in favor of this. One of the... The primary reason is that I talked to Judge Solis yesterday, and Judge Williams has done a very good job in juvenile court and in the prostitution court area, and his decision is to assign her there so there will be no conflict with some of the other issues that we just talked about. So please call the question. Please call the roll.
Deputy Mayor Pro Tem Atkins' motion is to appoint Cheryl Williams as full-time municipal judge. As I call your name, if you're in favor of, will you state yes? Or opposition to, will you state no? Mayor Rollins?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Medrano?
Yes.
Deputy Mayor Pro Tem Atkins?
Yes.
Councilmember Hosso?
Yes.
Councilmember Griggs?
No.
Councilmember Carraway?
Yes.
Councilmember Hill?
Yes.
Councilmember Alonzo?
Yes.
Councilmember Davis?
Yes.
Councilmember Cadain?
No.
Councilmember Allen?
No.
Councilmember Coop?
No.
Councilmember Grayson?
No.
Councilmember Margolin?
No.
Councilmember Hunt? 8 in favor of this item. This item passes.
Please.
Towards the end there, you had indicated that this judge would have the opportunity to hear juvenile cases. So I'm confused because before the conversation had been that these judges were going to be hired so that they could fulfill the responsibilities of part-time judges and thereby save us money or not cost us money. So, I'm sorry, I think I have the point.
I think those are two different, I see why you're saying that, but the assumption,
so
the posted predicate was not right.
Are some other judges going to be now pushed over to serving, to working on the part-time matters?
You know, let us have get back and get you an answer on that.
No, Mr. Mayor, I would like to ask H. Stephen Dollarsis because my understanding has been...
Well, it's not his decision. It's Judge Solis's.
Okay, but when we were having this conversation, the point that was made was that this was not going to cost any additional dollars.
Correct.
Because these judges that we were going to hire and put in...
Yeah. Well, I think she's asking a question for clarification. Judge, if you can grab Ms. Hunt later when you prepare your answer and get her that answer.
Well, I'm actually asking city staff that because it's a financial question. It's not a staffing question of how he wants to put different people in the court.
They've already said this is a cost neutral budget issue. So
can someone, AC, can you write me a memo explaining how we can add a full time judge who's not doing the loose garret docket for the part time judges and how that's going to be cost neutral? And would you provide that to the council?
AC needs to do that. Thank you. Okay, yes, ma'am. Okay, we have a motion second. Do we have any discussion? Please roll call.
As I state your name, if you're in favor of, will you state yes? In opposition to, will you state no? Mayor Rollins?
No.
Mayor Pro Tem Medrano?
Yes.
Deputy Mayor Pro Tem Atkins?
Yes.
Councilmember Hasso?
Yes.
Councilmember Griggs?
Yes.
Councilmember Carraway?
Yes.
Councilmember Hill?
Yes.
Councilmember Alonzo?
Yes.
Councilmember Davis?
Yes, yes.
Councilmember Cadane?
No.
Councilmember Allen? Councilmember Coops?
Yes.
Councilmember Grayson?
Yes.
Councilmember Margolin?
Yes.
Councilmember Hunt? There are 8 votes in opposition. This item fails.
Ms. Churchill. Okay. A motion and second. Ms. Cadane. We have a motion and second. Any discussion?
I want to. Yeah, I'd like to add Tony Martin as a part time.
Well, ask her if that's a
friendly amendment. Is that okay for you, Judge, for me to add Tony? Thank you.
Okay. We got a motion. Any discussion? Yes.
AC, I think we have 17 part-time judges right now. I think we have one space open for another part-time judge. Is that right?
Yes, I was going to get that confirmed, but I think it's one.
Okay, so there is one position open. Thank you.
So we can't do that?
You have to ask them. I mean, we're just adding people. So.
That Ruth Logan be added as a part-timer, and that if there's already a vacant position, that be filled by either Ruth Logan or Tony Martin. And I don't know why we can't do that. We're filling it out of the allotted money for the part-timers. Part-timers work when they're called. We could have 40 of them. It would still be the same amount of money.
You said the or part was confused. Are we voting that...
I'm moving that we add one part-time position, and that we fill the one that we didn't fill. So we will have 19 part-timers, one Ruth Logan and one Tony Martin.
Okay, so we had one open before the budget was passed, and now we have 2 open.
Yes, because one of them is filled.
No, we understand it that there's one vacancy that is available now, so there would not be another position. However, for those that want that, you could create the additional position. It's still within, we would still with the understanding that this money would be only that is currently in that budget.
It's the same, Mr. Gonzalez, it's the same pot of money, is that correct?
That's correct.
And it's the same pot of money that's split up among the associates. There's no money added. It's the same pot of money.
Okay.
Well, I'll take my motion off.
Okay. Okay. So he's not putting. So we have the motion for Ruth. Any further discussion? Now, please, do we have to roll call for this?
Yes.
Okay, please.
Voting yes is in favor of, no is in opposition to. Mayor Rollins?
No.
Mayor Pro Tem Medrano?
Yes.
Deputy Mayor Pro Tem Atkins?
Yes.
Councilmember Hasso?
Yes.
Councilmember Griggs?
Yes.
Councilmember Carraway?
Yes.
Councilmember Hill?
Yes.
Councilmember Alonzo?
Yes.
Councilmember Davis?
Yes.
Councilmember Cadane?
No.
Councilmember Allen? Councilmember Coop?
No.
Councilmember Grayson?
No.
Councilmember Margolin?
No.
Councilmember Hunt?
No.
This item has 8 votes in opposition 2. This item fails.
Thank you. Mr. Cadane, did you want
to? Yeah, I'd like to make a motion that we put Tony Martin in as alternate judge.
We have a second?
Second.
Okay. Any discussion? All right, please. I'm sorry.
So just to be clear, this would fill the one vacant position, and Mr. Martin had been supported as a judge by the committee, so I'll be supporting Mr. Martin.
Okay, was there another? Did you say something, Mr. Grayson? Okay, please call.
Roll call, yes in favor of, no opposition to. Mayor Rollins?
No.
Mayor Pro Tem Medrano?
No.
Deputy Mayor Pro Tem Atkins?
Yes.
Councilmember Hasso? Councilmember Griggs?
Yes.
Councilmember Carraway?
No.
Councilmember Hill?
No.
Councilmember Alonzo?
No.
Councilmember Davis?
No.
Councilmember Cadane?
Yes.
Councilmember Allen?
Yes.
Councilmember Coop?
No.
Councilmember Grayson?
Yes.
Councilmember Margolin?
Yes.
Councilmember Hunt?
Yes.
This item has 9 votes in opposition. This item fails.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes.
State law requires that a record vote for item 4. Item 4 is an ordinance setting the tax rate at 79.70 cents.
Okay, so we did a voice vote. Please put your vote on the record. Roll call.
Mayor Rollins?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Medrano?
Yes.
Deputy Mayor Pro Tem Atkins?
Yes.
Councilmember Hasso?
Yes.
Councilmember Griggs? Councilmember Carraway?
Yes.
Councilmember Hill?
Yes.
Councilmember Alonzo?
Yes.
Councilmember Davis?
Yes.
Councilmember Cadane?
Yes.
Councilmember Allen? Councilmember Coop? Councilmember Grayson?
Yes.
Councilmember Margolin?
Yes.
Councilmember Hunt?
Yes.
Thank you. It is 11:51 a.m. September 19th. The City Council will now go into closed session under Section 551071 of the Texas Open Meetings Act to receive advice from and consult with the City Attorney on the following matters described in today's agenda: legal services relating to federal health care reform legislation, legal issues regarding gas drilling and production. City Council, we've been here all morning. Let's come back, grab something to eat, and we'll all be back at 12:30 here for that executive session. Okay? Thank you. All right, let's go ahead. Ready? Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Judge Hill. Happy birthday to you.
Mr. Mayor, may I have an
announcement? Bob Hill's birthday is Sunday, September 23rd. You still have 3 more shopping days. I will be 64 years old. Let the church say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Mr. Mayor, may I say something, please?
Yes, Mr. Wander.
Unfortunately, this does not qualify for Ms. Hill yet because she's 63 and she's not 65. Because everybody that's 65 and older can get a free flu shot from Walgreens, our partners, thanks to all the companies that have been very supportive. And today is thanks to you, Mr. Mayor, Stop the Flu Day in Dallas. Thank you very much,
thank
and I hope everyone takes that opportunity because we're going to have other locations. There are 9 total.
I have now, what flu, type of flu is this? Yeah, I got you. Do we have, Ms. Rios, do you think we've got speakers? Because it might be better to... All right. Fine, thank you.
Mr. Mayor, we do...
I think, yeah, it'll be better to go ahead and do the speakers, and then we'll do the extra. No, cut the... Okay.
Our site speaker guidelines.
Mr. Fagan won't mind.
Citizens and other visitors attending the meeting of the City Council shall observe the same rules of propriety, decorum, and good conduct applicable to members of the City Council. Any person making personal, impertinent, profane, or slanderous remarks, or who becomes boisterous while addressing the City Council or while attending the City Council meeting shall be removed from the room if the Sergeant at Arms is so directed by the presiding officer, and the person shall be barred from further audience before the City Council during that session of the City Council. Individuals are allowed 3 minutes to speak. You notice the timer is on both walls. When your time is up, please allow the next speaker their turn. And please address all comments to Mayor Rollins. Your first speaker will be Trina Trish. Please state your name and address for the record, and you may begin.
Thank you. Buenas tardes. Como estas to everyone here. Trina Trish, Dallas City. First of all, I did email different people information about voting. I thank the mayor for starting off with that. Mr. Caraway can give you a copy of that. I did all of that yesterday. The other thing that I'd like to say is I do commend you all for trying to get the Hispanics, Latinos, and immigrants the opportunity to vote. I am in favor of immigration reform. However, illegal immigrants cannot vote, and they are a majority of those individuals. They have no power, no say-so. I stress getting illegal immigrants legal so then they can register and let their voice be heard. That's where the power is. The next thing I'd like to state on is the quality-based bidding, contract bidding. I think you all made my point when you were arguing over judges that there's a lot of unethical things going on according to who's supporting who. And that's why I say, because I have seen quality-based system and the bidding of contracts work. What you do is you get individuals qualified to oversee the bidding process, and they give you the best bid for the best price. When we have to hire lawyers for over $1 million, increase fees from $150,000 to $200,000, and then hire outside lawyers when we have city attorneys, I think the people need to know why. I think when you have low bidders who then come back and increase their bid, there's something wrong with the process. And what you did today was say that there are some people who can call friends on the council and have certain things done. How about that? That's what the argument is all about. Nevertheless, I see that firemen, let's say this, and police are getting increases and everything. And the funny thing is they say this action has no cost consideration to the city. Well, if you're doing all these increases, who's paying for it? Philanthropists? How could it not have a cost to the city? We understand that you reallocate money and budgets all the time. You say we're giving you a dollar today, and then next year you take it away and you put it on something else. That's what the public needs to know. This is a political process where if you wash, scratch my back, I'll scratch yours, and the same players want to stay on the field. Well, it's time for different players to play a different game to benefit the city of Dallas. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Trish.
Your next speaker is Richard Sheridan.
Yes, good afternoon. My name is Richard Sheridan. Live at 3022 Forest Lane, Dallas, Texas. Appreciate being here. where's the West Dallas RSR lead poisoning Superfund? With 11,000 dead and 15,000 dying, question mark, does the U.S. government's work done? If we can give $1 trillion to Wall Street, we can give a few billion to Dallasites suffering and dying. There's a lot here. I'll just give an excerpt. West Dallas may be physically safe and clean of lead today, but like the town crier he's been, William Hopkins has been coming before the city council about 14 years saying that the people are dying in West Dallas from the lead poisoning by RSR. Otis Fagan has been coming before the city council stating that about 11,000 have died and about 15,000 are dying of lead poisoning. Mr. Fagan also claims that the city of Dallas is refusing to comply with a court order that requires Dallas to facilitate a financial settlement in the case with the people Mr. Fagan represents, which represents, my understanding, is a small portion of the total number of claims. There's a number of different claims out there. Mr. Fagan has claimed, has stated that the total possible financial settlement to all dead, poisoned, debilitated, or dying from lead poisoning could be as much as $26 billion. Here's some very disturbing allegations about the West Dallas RSR lead poisoning Superfund case. I'll just give you three or four. One, the FBI broke into someone's home and stole important records on lead poisoning claimants. Two, there is not a death certificate in Dallas County for anyone who has died in West Dallas stating the cause of death is from lead poisoning. That's an unbelievable one. Part of the reason for Texas tort reform in the 90s by none other than Karl Rove was to reduce the liability of polluting industries. Many of the 15,000 people now ill and dying, if that's the number, are receiving no health care, no pain and suffering, are hanging by a thread financially. When a contaminated site became a Superfund site, it meant our federal government, it meant all the people of the United States, we the people, assumed the responsibility for the cleanup. In EPA's regulations, they state that a Superfund site is cleaned up until it ensures and provides to the long-term protection of human health and the environment. With an alleged 15,000 lead poisoned people now dying, is EPA's, is we the people's work done? Remember, the federal government, y'all, represent what we want to happen. Have the 15,000 poisoned health been protected? How can anyone say yes? Much work needs to be done to save the lives and improve the health of 15,000 people. People who are dying every day. We must not get bogged down or diverted from the big picture in local segmented lawsuits. We must join together and in the big picture approach, which is that RSR lead poisoning case is still a Superfund project and must be brought back to the EPA and perhaps to the Supreme Court of the United States for true justice to be served because of the massive corruption of this case at the city, county, state, and federal levels. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ms. Sheridan.
Ozan Balanc, not present. Otis Fagan. Mr. Fagan will be followed by Marvin Crenshaw and Robert Ciccarelli. Please state your name and address for the record.
My name is Otis Fagan. My address is 2247 Scotland Drive, Dallas, Texas, 75216. Good afternoon, Councilman and the Mayor. I want to talk about probable cause, criminal injurious conduct. But let me say I'd like to invite the FBI agent that I filed charges with back in April to attend the meeting that we have planned for September the 24th at 3 p.m. on the fifth floor here at the Dallas City Hall. And I would like to also invite federal prosecutors and make them the promise that we'll be able to provide them with at least two very interesting cases pertaining to insurance fraud and health care fraud for failure to provide the insurance coverage that was authorized by the court order, as well as seven fresh cases of homicide associated with the effort by the city to conceal the fact that they have not paid these people their medical insurance, and because of that, these people have lost their lives simply because of the lack of quality medical treatment. So that's a depraved indifference towards humanitarian reasons, whatever yours may be, for failure to provide these, your victims, with health care. That's a homicide. So I would like the FBI to come back and attend that meeting with us, the city councilman and the city attorney, on September the 24th, 5th floor, 3 o'clock, here at the Dallas City Hall. Thank you.
Thank you.
Marvin Crenshaw, not present. Robert Ceccarelli. Mr. Ceccarelli will be followed by William Hopkins and LaCoya London.
Anita.
Please state your name and address.
Robert Ceccarelli, 2218 Norwood Drive. Mr. Mayor, I'm going to give you something, and it's an editorial yesterday about the economic development, and in the following page about Chicago Public Schools. Two things that I'm concerned about your economic development. As you see in the bottom left corner, where it says Okada said he deliberately bucked the trend and directed his vision southward, setting up offices downtown. Sir, this gentleman's given a lot of money. If this person is really interested in South Dallas, he would have his offices in South Dallas, not downtown Dallas where the rest of the architecture is. So, in other words, if you're going to say something, you got to lead by example. And apparently, this person's not leading by example because he's not interested in South Dallas with economic development, or he would start it right there with offices to show he's interested in South Dallas. So that's just something you need to be concerned about. Also, top right, where I have a circle, well, in the middle of the page where it says, you got to figure that education is the best place to start. Families gravitate to where the best schools are. Good schools boost property values, create demand for your city. Sir, right now, if you put economic development without the schools being better, it's going to be a waste of time. All right? Now, I've mentioned it several times. I want everybody to listen, please. I get fed up myself, right? I've been really fed up. Please listen. It's very imperative, Lincoln High School, that everybody, Mayor Rollins, Ms. Davis, for you to go over there and talk to the person, the head of the union rep there, because I want you to find out if the teachers are happy about the tutoring after each class, sir, because on the next page for the Chicago schools, it says teacher evaluations. So what I have underlined, teachers say that does not take into account external factors that affect performance, including the poverty, violence, and homelessness. What is happening is that, like I said, they have an extra half hour tutoring that needs to be done for the students. Now, what I suggest is that everybody, including Ms. Davis and Mr. Mayor, is to talk about what's going on, because the teachers are fed up, in my opinion, with being held accountable, not the students. And what needs to be done is for you to see, talk to the students and to the teachers, let them know you're behind them, but also have a meeting with the students of Lincoln, let them know that the teachers are there to help, but they need to do the work. And they need to follow up with hard work, but that's not being done, sir. And that's what the problem is with Chicago, with the teachers, what's going to happen here in Dallas. And, sir, I would really wish you check into my sources with Burnett and that all, and about the invitation, what I did about the tutoring, and also Angela Acock. It's very critical that you see the mother, because she could be a big difference.
Please do that, sir. Thank you, Mr.
Chairman. William Hopkins.
Yes, my name is William Hopkins. Mayor Rollins, I had on your first week at the City Council, I gave you the lawsuit, the RSR lawsuit, where the city sued the RSR lawsuit. I gave it to you your first day on the job. So, with all of the people that have died since you've been here, you've known on the strength of you being white, that's the only reason you get to sit there and say nothing and let the people die. Carolyn Mitchell Scott just had up here, and she was one of the cheerleaders. I graduated with her. She just passed. Eldred Kenny Weefall, another classmate, they passed from counseling. I've been coming down here about 15 years, Mayor Rollins, asking for help about the people in West Dallas, and all the time the city sued and got the money. We've had a lot of black council members here over the years since 83, and no one black council member said nothing about the people that's dying in West Dallas. We got a council member over West Dallas right now, never said not a word about the people that's dying. My friends, my family, my mother, my father died of cancer, my brother Raymond died of cancer, my sister Margaret died of cancer. I know all y'all white. I watched the vote with the judge. You know, all the whites voted to throw the black judge out, and all the blacks voted to keep her. And I know we don't have no kind of strength down here as far as the white votes over the black votes. That was shown today on the, I watched the city council at the house today. So for me to ask some blacks for help would be useful, wouldn't be helpful. Y'all showed that today. So
thank you, Mr. Hoffman.
No, I got 55 minutes, so I'm going to take the 55 minutes just to stand here. I just marked 55 minutes, so.
You have something?
I feel like, no. I just want to stand here for 42 seconds.
You're welcome to stand
there. I'm okay.
You're welcome to stand.
I appreciate it.
Thank you.
LaCoya London, not present. Debbie Castilleja. Ms. Castilleja will be your final speaker. Please state your name and address for the record.
My name is Debbie Castilleja. I don't have a home, but I'm under your district. Hopefully, Majorno, you remember me? That was August the 8th when I came here. And I told you I transferred from Arlington, City of Arlington, Arlington Housing Authority, and I transferred my voucher over here where I obtained it there, and I went to Dallas Housing Authority. Well, when it was transferred over there, they lost it. It took about 2 or 3 months before they finally found it. When I moved into the apartments at that time, that was at 6003 Abrams Road, Willow Pond Apartments. Well, 8 months later, we had some new owners at that time, and they were doing renovation. All the tenants there were already there. Anybody that asked for repairs, the police were calling them. They called the police 3 times on me. The third time I got a citation for assaulting the leasing agent. That was on a Saturday morning, 9 o'clock in the morning. I went over there just to tell him that the toilet wasn't working properly. And it just went chaos. They set me up. You know why? Because when they called the police on me the second time, I went to Fair Housing here local. Okay. And then the third one, that was retaliation. Fair Housing didn't do anything on the retaliation, okay? When I moved out, another lady,
about August 2011, the same thing happened to her. She filed a complaint with Fair Housing. Later, about a month, 2 months later, they retaliated against her, the Willow Pond Apartments. And that was retaliation. Fair Housing didn't do anything, retaliation. Or was it the DA here? Why didn't you go after them? That was retaliation. I'm handicapped, and I assaulted a 19-year-old who was fired 6 months earlier for anger management. And not only that, afterwards, I have to deal with the judge. Judge Albert Bernard Saccone, or Saccone, however you say his name. He gave them whatever they wanted. Zero balance evictions. We didn't do anything. I had to deal with that. Okay, coming back to today, I go to City Walk to try to get an apartment there. And all I asked was for just to look at the apartment. And that's all I asked, nothing else. And I got a mouthful of whatever, so I had to go along with her just to keep her talking.
Thank you. Have you met with the DHA? Thank you. Thank you. Time's up. Please meet with the DHA, Dallas Housing Authority.
I've already been there. Okay. Somebody from Mr. Carroway here, Norma, is supposed to be helping me, but I haven't heard a word from her or DHA. I left on my medical records everything.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Ms. Madrona.
I know that our office, the Abrams, is in District 14, and
I know who it is, who it belongs to.
No, I know, and I believe on the 511 Harwood, North Harwood, we have contacted the administration there, and I believe they're willing to meet with you.
I don't have a voucher. I haven't been notified if I'm going to get an extension.
Okay. We'll have somebody meet with you. Thank you.
Mr. Mayor, this concludes your afternoon speakers.
Okay, thank you. We have, I'm going to read this because we're going into session, but a different one. It is 1:57 p.m. September 19th, the City Council will now go into a closed section under Section 551076 of the Texas Open Meetings Act to deliberate deployment of security personnel and a security audit. Ms. Soon, what do you want us to do?
Mayor, it's online. We're fixing to conduct a security training exercise. We're going to take a couple of minutes here.